Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
This week's Sunday Session is brought to you by Homebrewing's source of awesomeness online, More Beer at morebeer.com.
Great beer is about drinkability. Doesn't matter the style.
You guys are like walking beer Wikipedia.
That's the first time that you've ever accepted me as a person.
Or you have a fermentation in your gut.
Yeah. I'm jet propelled at all times.
How many guys do you think that you have the privilege to slap?
Somebody who's never tasted a commercial example, and this is how you know everything about this beer? Please, you don't.
I think it's bullshit.
I think it's bullshit too.
Wow. Are you guys going to arm wrestle?
No.
We're going to teabag fight instead.
You heard of Junkyard Wars?
Can I get another high? High five, Beavis.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is the Session.
All right, everybody. Everybody.
That's us too, right?
That's you too.
Cool.
Welcome to the Sunday Show. This is JP, rocking the Sunday Show. Why does my mic sound weird? Do I sound weird?
No, you just don't sound like Justin, which I guess is weird.
Go ahead, everybody.
My mic on?
Yeah.
Hey.
What's that?
I said, could you turn my mic on? Thank you.
You're welcome. I sound weird. I don't know. Maybe it's just
me. You sound
me.
Normal.
I do?
Oh, the first couple words sounded a little weird, and now it's all
right. They do, right? I don't know.
You're just up in your own head.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
All up in your own
Welcome to Sunday Show, as always, sponsored by our beautiful, handsome young men and women over at More Beer. If you want absolutely everything that you need to make great beer at home, go to morebeer.com and tell them the BN sent you. Then I can tell you the same thing next week, because they will pay me to.
It's always good. Good too.
Wow. Here we go. Another show hosted by me because Justin is off doing other things and stuff.
Things that you'd rather be doing.
Things that I would rather be doing. That's exactly right. He is at Disney World right now with his family.
I'm kind of surprised you didn't stow away.
I told him I was going to.
Like in the trunk.
Like Chim Chim and Spritel.
Exactly.
But then, I don't like flying because I can't stretch out. And then even just kind of in a bag, I would be worse. I'd just end up rolling out of it and puke, covered in my own feculence, rolling out of the tarmac on the Orlando airport.
And how is that different than just like a normal Tuesday?
I wouldn't be home. Hmm. I think so.
Would that get you onto an airplane if a trip to Disney World awaited?
It's going to happen eventually. My girlfriend and I keep talking about it. Maybe next year. It's hard when you make like $8 a month to save up for Disney World, but, you know.
It's like a good buck a month.
It's hard when you make $20 a month.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why, is Sam trying to tell you to save up for something?
Oh, man, I want to go to the thing.
No.
No?
I plan all of our vacations.
Yeah. Well, that way they'll happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I get the feeling if Sam plans your vacation, you just go down to Toots for, like, you know, free drink Tuesdays or whatever.
Totally go down to Toots. He'd be like, hide the baby in your backpack. You can go. You can't.
Right? Oh, why not, man? I don't know. I think it'd be good. Today we have Ladyface on, and I'm real excited about this brewery. They are in Agora Hills, California, down south. Apparently where Scott grew up.
Yep.
Moscow was not created in a lab.
I was. No, but the lab was in Agora Hills.
Oh. Well, see, there you go. I got my things mixed up. Great brewery. Had the pleasure to go down there a few months ago. The beer blew me away. The food blew me away. And I'm really, really excited to talk to these people today. So, and we have some beer,
nice.
Finally, from them. Well, not finally from them, but...
finally to talk about while we're talking about it?
Right. It's always really hard to talk about beer from a guest who we don't have the beer of. So we're like, oh, okay.
Well, I'm trying
and
to
now
make that...
tell me about your porter.
I'm trying to make it not happen as often. Like, yeah. I'm trying to go every show to have beer, because you're right, it's weird if you don't, but...
Hold on, I'm not paying attention. Bevo's taking her sweater off.
Got it.
Right. She has a real tight shirt on.
Once in every six shows,
yeah.
They don't send beer. And it's like, right. I can't really ask more than once. I'm like, hey, you know, it'd be really cool. It adds depth to the interview. Ship us some beer. And if they I can't press if they say, but sometimes people are just like, nah. Because, I mean, you know, it costs a bunch of money.
It does cost a lot of money, and I understand it. And
well,
you know,
we really got it good. In the pre-Scott days, we would never get beer because we'd book the guest like on Wednesday.
Right.
For the show on Sunday or Friday.
Or Saturday.
Or Saturday. Or Sunday morning. So the idea of getting beer was like ludicrous unless it was a beer that we could get locally and
or,
we'd get it.
Or if there's an in-house guest and then they'll bring beer.
Right. Well, I'm trying to change it so that when we don't have beer, it's ludicrous. Because it is. Right. It's way better to have the
that's
beer.
That's where I'm getting it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, you could always pull the, you know, we could buy your beer locally, but, you know, having it fresh would be just awesome.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, which, the which places, actually is pretty awesome.
Yeah. One of the places like Ladyface who don't bottle or anything.
Nah, that's tough.
It's tough, but they have such a good story and their beer's real good. So, I want to be able to talk about these places, but if we can't get their beer, it's a lot harder. But anyway, they've solved that for us, or rather Moscow has.
Well, they hand-capped some beer, it looks like. Right,
yes, they
the
did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Send us a sixer, right? Or at least three beers?
Yep. Three different kinds, good. And everything's labeled, and it's I can't wait. They're big beers, too, so get ready.
Awesome. That sounds great.
I'll save some.
Big as in high alcohol?
High alcohol, high everything.
It starts with an IPA, and then it goes up from there.
Exactly.
Two Belgians or something, it seemed like. Yeah.
That's great. Nice. How was everyone St. Paddy's Day? I'm surprised everyone's here and functional. Maybe.
Well, that's amateur night. I don't do much on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
That's a stay-at-home night pretty much for me. I go out, but not for very much.
I drank the afternoon away with Chris Graham. It's kind of nice.
What did you guys drink?
What did we have?
Did you Irish car bombs?
No. We were just raiding his... I brought over my Duval clone that I just finished.
Yeah.
And then we had some Heretic. Then we had a Goose. We had something else, too. It's just, we were raiding his... his cellar. It's kind of fun.
Oh, man. You know, I live like 5 minutes from his house.
Really?
Yeah. Keep that in mind.
He just seems like he lives out there, way out there.
He does live way out there, but, I mean, so do I. Well,
it's way off the freeway. It takes a long time to get there. It's all surface streets.
Tell me about it. It's just like going to your house, basically.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was over there borrowing his conical because I'm running out of conical space. So now I've got five conicals going.
My God, what are you brewing for?
Right?
Nationals.
Oh.
I slipped Moscow's brew in there in the middle of that. So.
It's tasting amazing. I cannot believe this is only 7 days old.
You may want to enter this if you don't have a Kolsch. This is good.
You should be privileged, Scott, that Doc here would take up his conical space for your extract beer.
I am. Well, it's his extract beer.
Well, that's true.
He really did most of the brewing.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it if you guys weren't coming over to do this one.
Well, so how are you impressed with how it turned out?
For a week old, hell yeah. Yes. Yeah,
a week old.
It's a week old, and
that's crazy to me.
It's pretty wild. I can just imagine what it's going to be like in about 4 weeks after being real cold.
And that's going to, what is it going to do?
It's going to mellow it out. The sulfurness will go away. It's a little bit sulfury because basically that's what the yeast throws off.
Yeah.
So lagering will make that kind of go away. It's like any other lager when it's fermenting. You're going to get that sulfurness and people are like, oh my God, is that supposed to smell like that? Yeah, it's fine. And I was just venting the keg. I was just really noticing it when I was, I carved up about 2 gallons of it, filtered and carved it up. So
cool.
Cleaned it up a little bit. See how it goes. It's only been cold like probably 2 hours, 3 hours carbonation.
It's tasting great.
Well, we'll roll through his through your guys' beer again and, later on the show. Good. Let's roll forward with this beast and see if I can't get it back on the rails. Well, not back on the rails, but there's an Imperial Stout Fest at Beer Rev next Saturday. Beer Evolution is a great little beer bar in Oakland.
I've still not been there. I keep trying to go there, and we get sidetracked and end up somewhere else.
It's cool, and I kind of like what they're doing. You know, there's already half a dozen IPA fests, and there's a double IPA fest in the Bay Area and all that kind of stuff, but they are doing an Imperial Stout Festival.
It's one of my favorite styles.
And they have over 40.
Oh, God.
Over 40. And I guess it's going to be like the Tornado Barley Wine
like
Fest.
One entire day of drunk.
It does. Probably two. It does, man.
Probably two.
Now, this is commercial beer, right?
Yes, this is commercial beer. So it's a lot like the Tornado Barley Wine Fest, where it's, you know, there's going to be a winner. And for whatever reason, they've asked me to be on the judging panel. So I'm going to actually get to do something important in the beer industry other than totally tank this show. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What time does it start? What about
I think they open like at noon.
Okay.
So it starts whatever then, and you know they have 40 plus. And then by the time that you guys get there, the general public, I will have deemed the winner. I get to be on the second round judging. So it's basically up to me.
Well, the second round, they're going to get rid of all the riffraff for you, and then you just pick the winner?
Look, I don't know how to break it to you, but I'm kind of important.
You're kind of a big deal?
I'm kind of a big deal.
They're using the... Tornado Barley Wine Festival format.
Right.
Of Russ Wigglesworth, whatever his name is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's where it's like they bring a set of judges in and they all taste like three beers apiece or something like that. Because it's like the barley wine. You can't drink too many of those.
No.
So then they like you'll judge like five beers and then some of those beers will be judged by other people in that round and in the subsequent round as well. So you'll be getting, I guess, like, you know, the second round if they advance.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm such a prima donna now with my judging. Is Morgan, our friend Morgan, is running the thing, and he goes, you know, JP, you want to do this thing? Yeah, you know, I'd like to do it, but I'm kind of a girl when it comes to judging, and I can't sit down for like 12 flights of barley water of Imperial Stouts, and I don't want to have to sit. I'm like complaining to him about what I hate about judging and why, you know, trying to give myself an out already, and I'm like, do I have to, you know... fill out a sheet, and if I have to, and he goes, no, it's a beauty contest. If you don't like it, then it doesn't go on. I'm like, oh, I can totally do that. Suddenly, my schedule totally opened up for that day. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do that. It's not a problem.
It's fun to judge that way. Yeah.
So, I will be doing a little blog about it and, taking some pictures and stuff like that. I'll be the Moscow, as Moscow's off at his friend's bachelor party or bachelorette party or whatever he's doing. So, it'll be a good time. So, if you're around the area, in Oaktown, come to the Imperial Stout Fest at Beer Rev Saturday, March 24th. Over 40 Imperial Stouts.
That's a lot. And treat it like it's a barley wine festival because you can't try them all.
That's true. And then I was about to do announcements.
<Thank you>.
Yeah, pussy.
I was about to do feedback.
You can't remember them all.
And I don't know where it is now. I forgot to load it up. What do you think?
What?
Okay. Feedback.
Oh. Put it up. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
You can find it. You know where it is.
Yeah, I wish I didn't. Oh, there it is right there.
So now that Jay's not here to give you crap for the long-winded lack of editing, you're just going to read these letters in full? Should we buckle
He can do whatever he wants. It's his show.
That's true.
He and I, we had a meeting last week just about, you know, what I'm doing on the show and blah, 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 and basically trying to get blood from a turnip. And, you know... He gave me some pointers on how to edit the thing, so this will be my editing job.
You think he's listening right now, or
I doubt
he
it.
He could just give a shit.
No,
I think he could just give a shit. I think he's thinking he's going golf on Tuesday, and I think he's just thinking about that.
No, I think he knows he should listen, and whether he is or not, it's like I'm just not going to. Or he's listening.
He should download that freaking app.
I think he has his own app. I doubt it.
Probably.
I don't know why. I mean,
why
would
he do it?
Right. I mean, I have it because he asked me to.
I got it once it became free.
Right. Oh, yeah. Would you think I... Yeah. I mean, that's why I don't have the Mr. Multi app.
I don't even know what that is.
Because it's not free?
Yeah. Because it's not free.
Jamil's.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
Obviously, I listen to other shows a lot.
You mean you're not a Can You Brew It fan?
No.
You don't want to know if we can clone recipes?
What about the homebrew chef?
I don't really worry about whether you guys can do it or not, because I'm sure you can, and I just have faith in you. And if you couldn't, then I would just lose all my faith. So I just like to stay believing that you guys can do anything.
We talk about you on those shows, you know.
Yeah, all the time.
Me or my boobs.
Well, we talk about you. I mean, inclusive. Every thing about you. So
We don't pick one thing out.
Whatever.
I mean, it's either your boobs or...
No, we don't. I'm just teasing you about not listening.
JP, they're asking me to ask you to put a hat on because your head is glaring off the
it's
camera.
Glaring off. Let me close this window.
No, it's a back window, probably.
And then when you can grab the light, maybe. Look, I'm sorry. I have bald head syndrome.
No, it's the back window.
Oh, it's the back window. All right, hang on a second.
There. All right, now
is that better? Now we got to turn the light. There we go. How's that?
Is that better?
Sorry, sitting in the captain's chair, I don't have a chance to light the studio. Whatever. Let's do some announcements so we can get into feedback, and then see how awful I'm going to be at interviewing one of my new favorite breweries, which they are, by the way. Too bad Agoura Hills is way out, way far away from me. So as a lot of you people know, we had some issues this week with downloading shows. Website was down for a little bit, and then all of our downloads were gone. Basically, we upgraded to a new server, finally. All the kind of stuff we've been talking about for like a year or two. Code, the man, basically sat up all week, transferred all of our nonsense to a new server. So all of our downloads should be a lot faster. All the downloads are up right now. So I just want to thank everybody for hanging in there. And
thanks to everybody who donated to that cause.
Right. Hopefully this will, you know, alleviate some of the pressure off of Code to just kind of, you know, be at... The dude's on beck and call. Yep. I mean, he has a phone by his bed, and you know, we've had to call him at 2:30 in the morning on his time.
He's got the red phone.
Yeah, it's basically the bat phone. It's the Code phone. So, I don't know. Everything's smoothing out now. So, yeah, a big thanks for everyone just being patient and hanging in with us. And we didn't get any gripey emails, which is awesome. You know, there's a big window of opportunity for that to happen. But everyone's been real cool. So thanks for all the support, and thanks for all the donations in general. But B&R Army rocks. So if you're into it, buy a T-shirt, buy an extra hat, and, help us out so we can make these kind of changes.
Buy JP a hat for his bald head.
Buy me a hat for my bald... Actually, I don't want... Here, I can put on my handkerchief. I've been carrying on a handkerchief lately.
They call it a do-rag.
That's cool.
At the break, I'll do the Tupac. I'm an old man. What do you want from me? I'm going bald. I'm grouchy.
Going bald?
I shaved my head this morning. Anyway, so check that out. Shop in the BN store. We got some new merch or some restocked merch. All that kind of nonsense. Don't forget about our iPhone and Android apps. You go to the Android Marketplace or the iPhone iTunes place. Is that what they call it? iPhone people?
iTunes?
iTunes. iTunes? All right. What happens if I...
It's called the App Store.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
JP's new to these ultra webs.
I am. This Apple nonsense. I'm for doing it my way on Android.
You have an iPhone.
It's not called Android Market anymore either, is it?
No, it's called Google Play or something like that, or Google Press Play, which is a horrible name for anything. Search BN Mobile and you'll find it. You can download our app. It's free.
Free.
Don't forget to find us on Twitter and Facebook.
Facebook.
I really am the only one to do that. Producer Scott the Jew.
Do it yourself.
Is now available on scott@thebrewingnetwork.com. Send him show ideas, guest ideas, anything like that. I've also kicked Moscow in the pants into the dig both. Kind of leap in the air, scissor kick, and pushed him into the digital age. And, Scott's now on Twitter.
Wow.
What's his.
I thought you were going to say he got a new phone.
No.
What's his handle
there? Let's not go crazy.
His handle is Moscow Paints. So it's basically a way for him to tell everybody about his painting. Because he's a really good artist.
Yeah. Oh, artist. Oh, I thought you were talking
about
house painting.
See, that's what I'm worried about.
He's training.
People are going to go, do you do exteriors or interiors or both?
Do cars too?
What's
that?
The window trim in my house needs to be done.
Yeah, you need to have Scott come over and Moscow take care of your trim. Paints.
I want some flames in my forehead.
Is that even me?
I think flames would be red. You could probably paint flames.
Sure.
Yeah, you could have the best flames in town.
Yeah.
It would just be like oil paint on the side of your car. It wouldn't be like polymer-based.
It'd be one of a kind.
Use a roller or a brush.
Well, it depends if I'm doing exterior or interior. Okay.
See, you know more than you think you do, Scott. Don't sell yourself short.
All right, so is there you have a website that...
No. It's actually, I'm not even... JP's managing the Twitter feed.
Yeah!
I told him he can you know, make some money.
He can even tweet for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. JP's now my manager, basically.
So it's basically me, and... Because Moscow, he... You know, for all the things he fucks up, he's good at painting.
He really is.
And, you know, I'm like, dude, why are you trying to sell? Well, you know, I have the thread in the forum... And people can go look at the beer art thread in the form. No one's going to want to do that.
Yeah.
They want it right to them, piped directly into their screen, you know, right in front of their eyes. So this is a way to do it. So every once in a while, I'll put up a picture of Scott's paintings. It'll probably go out next week or the week after, if I'm not too lazy.
Well, if you tweeted them to go to the forum and look at those things.
They could be there too. But anyway, all of them are for sale. Everyone's about making money.
Most of them.
When's Bevo going to start cranking out some weird, like, at-home Etsy kind of stuff? Like, here's my crocheted baby bottle holder. Everyone donate and get one.
Maybe she's got a whole side business already.
When have I ever struck you as that type of person?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when do women start nesting? Are you starting?
I don't know because I entirely skipped over that phase.
You have a baby. Shouldn't you be wanting to withdraw?
Sam has a baby.
I have a baby, Sam I have a job, and I have a gym membership. That's all I have time for.
Oh, wow. Well, I got to thank you for wearing that shirt once again. At first, I thought it was a lunch meat shirt at the corner of my eye because it kind of has the thing.
No, it's a Hollister shirt.
Yeah. Oh.
I got a chair in front of me. I'm missing the whole thing.
So. Way to support your, you know, business.
It was a gift. Yeah. Whatever.
I'll give you a lunch meat shirt. How about that?
I have one. It doesn't fit.
Oh.
What do you mean it doesn't fit?
Yeah, we'll be the judge of that.
Creeps.
I'm not even... Shut
up. I know where this is going. Huh?
Oh, man. Send feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. Not questions about shows and not questions about how to brew and not all this stuff. If you have feedback for the show, anything you want to say about the shows.
Like, thank you, JP.
Yeah, anything like that, even whatever. Send it to feedback@thebrewingnetwork. Anything else about the shows and stuff, go to scott@thebrewingnetwork.com, please. All right, Doc, you ready for feedback, buddy?
Yeah, you bet I am.
Feedback brought to you by HopTech, our buddies over in Dublin, HopTech.com.
Oh, my God!
You've got mail.
Kick-ass.
See if I can do this. I don't even know. It's like every time I see Jay doing it, it's effortless, and then every time I have to do it, I'm
sticky
fumblings in the backseat.
Pretend like you don't want to read any of it. And then read some of it, and you're doing great, just like him.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
Skim it. Be like...
Yeah, this is bad. Nah, why am I reading this? Oh, okay, here's something. Okay.
All right.
If you don't like the way it's edited, just rag on Scott there. It'll be your sounding board.
Okay. All right, let's give it a shot. Hold on a second. Okay, what do I got for feedback here? Oh, God. Do I got a... blah, blah, blah. Hey, guys. Again, I'm a huge beer nerd! And opening a WOB franchise. I don't know what that is. Just found your app on my iPad. When are you guys going to get a channel on XM Sirius? Keep up the great work, Matt. That's a good question. I don't know.
XM calls.
I talked to him for like on and off for probably 6 months in 2011. Yeah, it just wasn't happening.
What about in 2011?
I don't understand.
I don't understand either. Dear sirs, I'm writing to you today to discuss something that weighs heavily on my mind. Last week, I joined in the BN Reveille, typing away in the forum as I listened to the shenanigans, blah, 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 blah. I was admittedly imbibing during the show and encouraging the chat room to call in for Drunk of the Week. I didn't need much coaxing. I love the show, and I think you guys as buddies.
Oh, thank you.
My only apprehension was the ribbing that I knew I would receive from being from New Jersey. Little did I know the level of disrespect I would receive from Justin and JP that surpassed anything I could have imagined.
Wow.
I just wanted to... Right? Excuse me. I just want to let you know that I'm going AWOL on the BN Army, withdrawing my monthly contributions, and God willing, convincing the NHC administrators to remove the Brewing Network from the club listing for the APA that I entered. With that, I say good day. Suck it, fuck sticks, Bruiser.
Wow.
Is he being serious?
A little butthurt.
P.S. Just kidding, asshats. Oh. Keep up the good work.
I was going to say, man, he is not fist pumping like a champ.
No, not at all.
if you got thin skin in New Jersey, you just don't belong in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I think it's impossible. I think with all the chemicals and shit in the air.
Your skin's gone.
You're basically just one big callus.
Yeah, that's all messed up.
P.S.S. If JP is drinking tea tonight, I am going AWOL. Well, Bruiser, I am drinking tea in my hung jury mug.
That's actually Sam's old cup.
Is it Sam's old cup? I don't know. I don't really care if anyone
can wash it real good.
I should soak it in bleach before every use. Anyway, dear brewcasters, regarding the recent comment about adding base malt to steeping grains, Jamil had said on Sunday session 8:25:07 that base malt can be used to increase the fermentability of extracts by adding it to the extract bag and letting it sit at 145 degrees. As far as base malt in just the steep itself, the base malt may contribute some slight flavors on its own, but enzymatically, it likely won't gain much if the rest of the specialty grains are crystal or roasted grains. However, many extract brewers do recipes that call for steeping of other grains that really should be mashed, so in those cases, it may be more useful. That's from Spider Wrangler. I guess he was just saying, let me try to sum it up. Well, Jamil said it, so it must be true.
No, I'm not getting the part where we're talking about. Basically, we did do a mash. We did a mini mash.
Yeah.
We didn't steep base grains, unless you call it steeping at, 152.
Which I don't.
Yeah. That's basically what we did. We steeped it at 152 in a fairly concentrated, thick mash, and it. That's what we did, and then we took the bag from there and put it in with a different pot with the extract.
Well, we'll talk about it more.
All right,
we'll see if you screwed it up.
We're drinking it now.
It's pretty good.
Top of the morning to you, asshats. That's right. When you guys do the session, most of us Swedes are sound asleep and bringing it weak in our beds. Good thing you're putting up podcasts for people like me. I'm an archive listener for about 2 years. As of October. I'm traveling to South America with my girlfriend, and good beers are not plentiful down here, I tell you. He told us. Most microbreweries have dark beer, but it's hard, I said hard, to find anything that resembles a hop flavor. Other than the lack of good beer, traveling is great, except for Peru, that sucks warm nutter balls. Wow.
That was really funny.
That was really funny. I spent most of our 15-plus-hour bus rides chewing coca leaves and listening to the session. Living the dream.
And if so, we do.
Yeah. And if that's not enough, today I got myself the rank of private first class in the BN Army.
Welcome to the Army.
Thank you very much. I would really like to give back more, but I'm a student, and coca leaves are not free. I have two... that's pretty funny. I kind of want to eat a coca leaf. I have two questions. Are there such thing as international memberships in the AHA? I believe that's a yes. And if so, does it come with a Zymergy in an electronic format? I believe no, but I think they do mail you the magazine, right? Well, if you're international?
You get an electronic format if you remember, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I think you get both.
Oh, shit. Look at that. Also, I'm diving right into kegging upon arrival to the homeland. I've heard about dry hopping in the keg, but how do I go about it? Do I force carb during the dry hop? Won't the beer be exposed to CO2 when I put it in and take out the bag of hops? Or is secondary the way to go? Just like 8 questions. Real quick, Tasty, how does he dry hop?
In the keg.
In the keg.
You can do it in the keg. You can do it in the secondary as well.
You just put the hops in.
When you can carbonate while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Sure.
The beer will be exposed to oxygen when he puts in and takes out the hops.
Not that much.
But you'll be
in
fine.
In the keg?
Yeah.
We'll clear the headspace with CO2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Just hit it with CO2,
yeah,
purge everything?
Yeah, exactly. Do that 3 uh-huh. times, fill it up.
You're good.
Yeah.
Thanks for all the great shows. Carl of Duty is his forum name.
Nice.
And he has one of the best sign-offs. Up the bum and suck it, apparently. So, little ATM there. Justin, 2 things. Thanks for introducing me to Forest Day. I've been listening to the album on loop basically nonstop. Sax, funky beats, hip-hop. Plus depression equals amazing music. Number 2, I bought some gear a while back but can't wear it outside of my apartment. I live in Washington, D.C., so whenever I wear it, people would see the grenade and the word army and say things like, thank you for your service, and are you active duty? Then I have to say no and attempt to explain my affiliation with some online beer club. Needless to say, I get some confused looks.
Well, he needs to stop going to the school for slow kids and he won't get so many questions. Do people really confuse him for come on.
Oh, no, I've heard this before.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
it says Army on it.
It's just out of the corner of your eye. You're not reading it.
Actually, it's happened to me, too.
Didn't that happen to Chad, too? Like,
yeah.
In
yeah,
Colorado?
Yeah, you guys were wearing those BN Army shirts that had the military insignias on them.
But it just says Army on it, and they start thanking you and stuff. And you know what? After a while, you just say, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're happy. You're happy. Just move on.
Where do you think we should be deployed next?
I understand at a glance, but they approach you and start asking questions.
Yeah.
Sure.
They just mostly say thank you for all you're doing for our country.
Talking about the radio show.
We assume they are.
I'm assuming that's not the case.
Leave that in your head. You'll be good.
Yeah. I have been listening to the archives and enjoyed what I have heard. I'm in the middle of 2006, which is really not that far yet, but I've only been going for about a week and a half, so I'm making good progress. My one question is about downloading your podcast, because I try to do some of the Sunday session of Brew Strong, and the server stops at about 10 downloads on a good night. I'm looking forward to getting caught up, because I've already been learning a lot that I can apply to my own brewing, and blah, 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 blah. That's from Colt from Indiana. Really? You're from Indiana, and your parents named you Colt? If you live on a farm, I'm going to burn it down, because then that's just stupid.
I went to high school with a guy named Colt.
Was he from Indiana? And was his favorite team the Colts?
My boss named her kid Colt.
Ugh.
I don't know.
His favorite team's the Colts. That's a problem.
Right. I think basically the download limit is because our old shitty server, so I don't think that's going to be a problem, but wait for Jay to come back and confuse that.
Why
all
do you need 10 at a time?
Yeah, or 10, oh, more than 10 in a day.
Why don't you download one and listen to one? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I guess because, we have these people that they'll go back through the archives and they will just dominate while they're on a commute or whatever, so they'll do two shows a day sometimes.
Well, that's fine. I should see that. I mean,
if you're chewing cocoa leaves, you can probably listen to a lot of them.
I think that's also, we do have a limit for some because we want to eliminate people doing like a whole year at a time, and that just drains our servers. But again, I don't know if that's going to be such a problem with the new one, so we'll see.
Well, it's not tested.
Hey guys, just want to give my two cents as a pro brewer on approaching with negative feedback. Remember that feedback we did last week, right? I just listened to last week's feedback about the guy whose local brewery sucks. You guys hit the nail on the head. When a home brewer comes up and the first thing they say is, I noticed some DMS, perhaps he should turn up the boil.
Yeah.
When I won a gold in last year's homebrew comp, that's what I did. Also,
that's irritating.
I'm a BJCP judge, so listen to me. The first thing I want to say back is, oh, turn up the boil? It's that easy? Thanks, you must be so proud. Fucking homebrewers, ha 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 ha. You would think that I wrote this, but... Anyway, he goes, look, I'm a BJCP judge as well. Also, pro brewing is nothing like home brewing. Sometimes it's not as easy as that. We sometimes notice these things, and sometimes we don't. So coming up spouting your accomplishments just makes me resent and discredit the next few things that come out of your mouth. A better approach would be saying how you're a local, a fan of the beer, but you've noticed a few things that differ from some other great beers. Following that, exactly what you guys said about describing your great pills or whatever would be awesome. Anyways, keep up the good work. Hopefully that guy finds a nice, tactful way to approach this and improves the beer in the community for the better.
It might not be there the next time either. Maybe they brewed a 300-gallon batch. They're not going to throw it out because there's a little DMS in it. But, they probably noticed it. They're not going to happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah, new breweries, it's not worth mentioning anything to anybody. It's those that have been around a while and continue to produce a product that,
If they keep having that kind of thing. But you walk into a brew pub, each batch is going to be a little bit different. So, hey, try it again the next month. When they're not going to throw out 300 gallons because it's a little bit of DMS in there, as long as it sells.
I do kind of like the idea, though, of not saying that, this is why I know what I'm talking about. It's just, hey, I really like your beer, and I've noticed this. What do you think? Let's have a conversation about it.
Yeah, it's just something positive about the beer to begin with, certainly, every time.
Also, in the past few months on the forum, or not on the forum, in the feedback, I've been getting a lot of people signing up for the forum incorrectly. So if you're a new listener and you want to go sign up in the forum, there is a box that you're going to have to check if you're over the age of like 21 or even 13 or something like that. I really don't know why, but a lot of people have been checking the I am under 13 years old thing because they just click. They right. just want to get in the thing.
I think it's funny.
Yeah, or they think it's funny, but then they get locked out of the forum. And then I get the email, then I have to forward it to code. So just so you guys know.
Why do you get the email about people being under 13?
Because they send it to feedback. And because I have a Google News alert that sends me anything with the words under 13 in it, okay? And I don't want to talk
you
about
creeper.
It.
Creeper.
Yeah, okay. I just got that beef, and I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
But thank you. Yeah, so anyway, when you sign up for the forum, just be aware. Just be a little careful about what's going on and what you guys are clicking. You know what I'm trying to say?
No
one knows what
makes it easier on everybody.
Twitter game. I'm going to try to manage the show and do a Twitter game at the same time. Oh, what do you guys think?
Moscow's schooled in Twitter now. Let him do it.
Well, yeah, I guess on the.
That's true.
Yeah, I can handle it. JP, you want to do this for me?
Yeah, I would love to. The question I have is maybe not a good one, but I would like to know what the worst thing about being a beer geek is in your minds. There's like there's some really awful video that's going around of like some guy pretending to be, oh, I like craft beer. I'm going to do this thing, and I know all about hops and blah, blah. And it's really boring and really not funny at all. And I don't know. He's getting a lot of heat for it, like in a positive way. There's a lot of views. I don't know John, whatever his name is. I don't know. It's real boring and stupid. But, I mean, I get the point. It's one of those where you get the joke, like, oh, homebrewers, you know, craft brew people think they know everything about beer and they like talking about craft beer. It's not really funny because it's kind of true. You know, if you're in a hobby or if you like something, you want to learn about it and then you talk to people about it at events that people talk about. It's like going, oh, my car doesn't work. I'm going to go to the mechanic and get it fixed. Oh, I'm so stupid. Okay, it's not funny. Anyway. So I want to know what the worst thing about being a craft beer geek is. And you can go to
this show.
Brewing Network.
Winner.
Is it? I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Bevo?
No,
because
you turn off my microphone.
Oh, you think I'll turn off your microphone? I would never do that to you.
Yeah, you right. Bitch.
All right. Well, I'll send that on Twitter in a second. But what do you think? Are we ready for our first break?
Sure, yes. Let's do this.
I don't know. Let's do it.
We do this well.
Did you set up food like Kate does?
No, but Terrence in there doing it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Terrence here?
Not Terrence.
I said Terrence.
Oh, yeah, Terrence here. Somewhere.
I didn't see her.
No.
I saw a sea of dogs out there of like, just get meat at the door.
And yeah.
It's
Dog City in
it's
here.
It's Dog
man.
City in here.
Get rid of one, get another one. And just, leave it alone.
Terrence's a great cook. I mean, she may have a surprise for us in there or something.
Ooh. Probably not the first break.
Better pretzels than usual or something.
Oh, that'd be good.
Ooh.
Custom healthy pretzels or whatever.
Yeah, something.
Anyway, this is Session. We'll be back after this break with Ladyface. Stay with us.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the learning center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Homebrewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your homebrew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
Nico, listen, our lawyer said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids. Come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in the can.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of our 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Our Williams Belgian Pale Extract is mashed with pure Belgian two-row malt and a small percentage of Belgian wheat malt for an authentic Belgian character you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out our unique fermenters, 2.5-gallon kegs, paintball tank-based draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and much more. We even have our own line of precision hydrometers. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse our vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 3:30 p.m. Pacific time ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
Session.
Brewing up our next batch of Radio Gold.
Right now.
Mama, you're the gal for me. Beer bottle mama, you suit me to a T. Now you love beer and I love gin. With the two together we're bound to win. Beer bottle mama, you're the one for me. Just the other day I stopped at a cabaret. I heard a barfly say to a barfly cross the way. Beer bottle mama, you're the gal for me. Beer bottle mama, you suit me to a T. Now you love beer and I love gin. With the two together we're bound to win. Beer bottle mama, you're the one for me. Mama, you're the gal for me. Beer bottle mama, you suit me to a T. Now you love beer and I love gin. With the two together we're bound to win. Beer bottle mama, you're the one for me. stopped at a cabaret. I heard a barfly say to a barfly across the way, beer bottle mama, you're the gal for me. Beer bottle mama, you suit me to a T. Now you love beer and I love gin, with the two together we're bound to win. Beer bottle mama, you're the gal for me.
Times like this that I've gotta crack a smile. If it's about anything, then it's gotta be style. What happens now? A better man can hold the mic and do the proving. Dress of the black sheep, yo, let's get the sheep moving. I'd like to pay a tribute to what to knock and boots. I'm single and I mingle. If you jingle, I play roots, but there's another. The other, the brother on the cover. Bought along, I bought along, I bought along long. A duo, not a trio, move your booty, cause I say so. Be a lusting on a busting black sheep, got your average show. Now I hold a microphone, but this is what I wanted. A pocket full of panani, better me than those I fronted. Dropping bombs, lovely, make them jet without their jetta. Keep fronting if you're wanting, but I bet you'll have a rest. I punctuate and exclamate the lingo I let go. Not that it's my style, cause I let go my ego. Be it just us, just you, just me, or just who. Never am I full. Got to get residuals pronto. Tonto was engine number 9. I'm out to get the nickels, quarters, pennies, and the dimes. But in the meantime, I try to fork one. I try to fork one in the meantime. Not in the meantime, I try to fork one. I try to fork one in the meantime. At last, black sheep on wax, and finally it's for himself that Mr. Long is laying tracks. Now I won't dally a fiddle, give you more than bits and kibble, or is it kibbles and bits that became hits? Now there's a riddle, believe me, cause you see, I do understand. Heard a jam, it was flam, bought the album Van Damme, it's weak. But for the moment, I won't speak upon this. I mean that, I mean those, I mean them, I mean there, I mean here. Damn.
Yo, what you trying to say, Drez?
Yo, let me try this again. You see, this is rather funky. The style that I'm displaying, somewhat bona fide, on the side of okay. And finally, you hung up, but dopeness is full. Please excuse. Yo, turn it up a decibel, for I am about to rip a style that will make heads bop a while. So please step to the right if you suck. Should I do one violators?
What the fuck?
Moving, yes I'm moving. Am I moving?
Goonie goo goo.
Say la, what? Say la, say la, say la.
Poo poo.
Say it in a second after Drez is finished wrecking. As I'm wrecking, got you checking. Step to this and Drez will deck. But in the meantime, I try to fork one. I try to fork one in the meantime. Not in the meantime, I try to fork one. I try to fork one in the meantime.
Surprising you, I'm rising, dresmerizing and subliminalizing. Black sheep are here. We're breaking all ties and making songs that are prolific. Specific, yes, terrific. Move a body in a city to both sides of the Pacific. I'm dressing you or not. You're cold, I'm hot, which means I'm soon to boil booty. Your booty to butt, but still you think you're royal. Are you mad? Are you jealous? Overjoyed or overzealous? Hold your glass and sip. For when you held the mic, you couldn't rip the foyer mic when hush. Keep sipping stupid lush. I know I'll be alright tonight. I took my time, I didn't rush. I didn't blush, I didn't frown. Got up to get down. Henceforth, I'm getting down and dirty, G. A fool that I would not be. Stupid, cupid, long a looping. I sting you like a bumble. Where's the bee? Here I be. Can't you see? Can't you peep? If you're sleeping, then wake up. If you're stinking, then wash up. If you're creeping, then catch up. You're rolling with a black sheep.
Now in the meantime, I got to walk one.
Now in the meantime, I try to hawk one. I try to hawk one in the meantime. Said in the meantime, I try to hawk one. I try to hawk one in the meantime.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
session.
Brewing up our next batch of Radio Gold.
Right now.
All right, welcome back to the show. Sorry about that extended extended break we had there, extended music break. We're having a little problem getting a hold of our guest. We were Ladyface, Ladyface Ales down in Agoura Hills. Moscow is feverishly working at that. But in the meantime, I want to yell at some people for NHC Club Night. Okay. I've been putting out the call for NHC Club Night now for like two shows, I think, and this is the third one. And we've gotten maybe three responses.
What was your call? Because I never heard it.
The call. It's weird because you were here for one of them. Now, it's
was I actually here yet?
Well, you were physically here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you see them? They should be up.
They should be up? All right.
Well, keep in mind who you're asking here. You're asking people that live close enough that they could bring beer that don't have otherwise a club affiliation, or they do and they're willing to spread it around a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's a limited set of people.
It is a limited set of people. You know, and if you know somebody, you can ship their beer with them, give them to them so they can drive it or whatever. But we're trying to have a booth at Club Night at NHC this year. Yeah. And we don't have a whole lot of beer to do it. And we also have to host a hospitality suite, which is always rad.
That's even a bigger problem. They'll put you with other clubs if you don't have enough. So,
I got him, Scott.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah.
So they could, you know, they'll join up with a club that's also small to combine to have enough beer to do the hospitality suite shift.
Right.
But you have to have a volume of beer. Three people donating beer is not going to be enough for any one thing.
Right.
Club night or hospitality.
They'll pair you up.
So I imagine you're bringing beer, Tasty, right?
Well, it gets down to it. I was going to fly, so I'm not going to check it. I'm going to have to. Like last year, shipped
beer.
Did you
buy a seat?
To San Diego. That's why I had beer there.
Is anybody driving up?
If we're shipping beer to Seattle, yeah, I'll have beer there.
Yeah, I think we're going to do, if we have enough local beer, I'm going to try to have two kegs for it. We are going to hopefully use a pallet from More Beer and just ship a pallet up.
Perfect. Well, I'll have two kegs as well.
I've been brewing.
We went
little,
from five.
So. Yeah,
I can have some.
Moscow, you gonna have any beer for club night? You should.
Yeah, you probably will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have this.
I'm sorry, you're not.
I'll have this Kolsch that I made at Doc's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Think it's gonna be around?
Well, no. Yeah, it'll be around
in what? April, May, June, 3 months. No, you gotta brew.
I'll be there drinking beer.
Yeah.
Does that count?
It counts, but you know, we really want a big showing. We won Club of the Year. We are the AHA Homebrew Club of the Year, and you know,
the reigning champ,
right? And so we just need more people to fill up space for kegs. So email me at jp@thebrewingnetwork.com, and hopefully you can donate a keg of beer or two. Even like Tasty said, even if you are part of a club and you want to spread the wealth a little bit, we are your club. If you listen to the show and you get any sort of information from us at all. We're your club, man.
It doesn't even have to be a whole keg. You don't need 5 gallons.
Right.
Two and a half, a short one.
Yeah. You can pull a Scotty out and, you know. So email me and let's get on the ball here because, you know, we want to do something rad for club night. And if we don't have enough beer, then, you know, we're going to have, it's going to be me and Tasty and Doc kind of sitting there with, you know, Cobra Taps going, hey, anyone want some
for
beer?
For about 10 minutes.
For about 10 minutes, right. And then we'll be mobbed and then everyone will go away and then it'll... You know, there'll be a dust cloud. So
say, where's the beer? And we'll say, we have none.
All right. So I think we got everything settled. I apologize about that, everybody. Here we go. Who do we have? Is this Dave?
Yep, I'm here.
Dave, how you doing, man? This is JP.
Doing excellent. How you guys doing?
Good. And Serena's there with you as well?
I'm here.
Oh.
We're just barely younger than 13.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that tinny factor of Skype. So sorry about that, but I'm really excited to have you guys on the show. As I mentioned before, you know, I was able to go to the brewery a few months back and was just blown away. All the beers were really drinkable, and the food was great, and the atmosphere was awesome. So I'm really looking forward to this interview. I appreciate you guys taking some time.
Well, thank you for having us on. It's a real pleasure.
Awesome. Now, Serena, you are the owner, right? And Dave, you are the brewmaster, or are you guys co-owners, or what's that about?
We're co-owners. He's not going anywhere anytime soon, I'll tell you that. But he's the official brewmaster.
Okay.
I just mop the floors.
Oh, wow. The janitor position.
No, that's also called a brewer.
Yeah, how does a brewer get out of mopping the floors? I think that's, we should talk about that all day.
I stop to mop every once in a while.
Now, how did you guys get hooked up to Open Ladyface? Did you, were you guys friends before your interest in beer, or tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that goes back, what, about 12 years ago, I guess. Dave and I have been neighbors for that long, if you can believe that.
Oh, wow.
He lives two doors down the street from us, from me. He and I happened to get these magical brewing kits from our significant others that many years ago, and we kind of went to town. He was in his garage, I was in my kitchen, and we ended up hooking up. You know, word got out on the street, and there was another gal in the neighborhood that was home brewing at the time, so we just kind of formed our own little neighborhood brew club.
Oh, right on.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, and then he, you can take it, the BJ's, he knocked on BJ's door and insisted they give him a job at one point.
Yeah, I couldn't stand waiting tables and working odd construction jobs anymore, so I found the closest brewery and did anything I could to get any job in there.
So you worked at the BJ's?
I was actually with BJ's for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
I started as a hose dragger, you know, washing kegs, you know, taking care of the floors and all that stuff, and, you know, just slowly worked my way through the ranks, you know, assistant brewer, head brewer, and just, you know, it started there. You know, a lot of my formal training started there.
Okay, and then so you basically started at BJ's, and where'd you go after that?
Just directly into Ladyface. You know, I was with BJ's until about 3 years ago, and then you know, came home, got a different job for a few months during the overpass of Ladyface getting started, and just went straight into Ladyface.
And sorry, go ahead.
Well, about 2007, I think it was, we first sat down and, you know, said, hey, I think you want to open a brewery. I think I want to open a brewery. This could be a good thing. So 2007 was about the first time we actually sat down and have a conversation over beers and got serious about some planning. But I started working on a business plan 2 years before that, you know, the scheming and dreaming end of things. So
right.
Just kind of the pieces of the puzzle all came together.
That is pretty convenient, I think, to, you know, a lot of people, I think, have to look far and wide for some sort of partner. And just to have your neighbor right there going, yeah, I'm into it. Let's do it.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Nice.
That's got to be pretty nice. And then, you know, if he doesn't do something, you can just go over to his house. You know where he lives all the time. He's there.
Yeah.
Dave, I wonder how long into your employ with BJ's did you feel like you were ready to open your own brewery? Like, was it just a year, or was it your whole tenure? When did you feel ready?
Never.
Well, for the love of God.
There, I was really just trying to, you know, I didn't have a career. I was 19, 20 years old, you know, waiting tables down on the beach in Malibu, and just had no real direction and career path. And when the homebrewing thing started, and I realized I could, there was a local brewery that was about 15 miles away, and just started there. And I, you know, it actually, I feel very lucky because it turned into something that I still have an extreme amount of passion for, and I can make a living at it. And not everyone can say that.
Yeah, that is true. We, you know, being homebrewers yourselves, you guys know this too, but it, you know, it's every homebrewer's dream, if not for their entirety of their homebrewing career, but at least for a little bit, to open their own brewery. And I think, you know, after only 9 years of working at another place, to kind of jump into it, it's pretty cool. I mean, that seems like a short amount of time, I think, to consider taking everything else on your shoulders, and not just brewing, but running everything else too.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where definitely the partnership with Serena, you know, it takes a lot of the stress out of, you know, it's, you know, there's two minds in the room now. So it's, you know, I definitely don't feel like I do everything here, because it's just not reality. But as far as, you know, trying to achieve the, you know, moving from a home brewing into professional brewing into actually owning a brewery is definitely, it was a big step. It was a leap of faith, and there was a lot of nervous nights about if we're making the right choices. But now that we're just over 2 years into it, I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe, I mean, I can't see it being any other way either.
I mean, it was kind of scary, you know, as a home brewer, you know, trying to imagine this big project. And I always kept telling myself, well, I really love beer. I know a lot about beer, but I'm not a professional brewer. And I think, you know, as a home brewer, trying to imagine opening your own place, that was a big, scary thing for me. So it was really fortunate that, you know, I knew Dave and that I felt we could work together and that he had some professional brewing experience already. So we kind of hit the ground running.
How hard was that first, you know, where it's your first brew day and you're looking at all the equipment and you see the mash tun and it, you know, you see your grain order and you're kind of sitting there going, what, how did this happen? I imagine to me that brew day would be really hard because it's like, okay, this is what everything is riding on is how well this batch comes out. Or maybe you didn't put that much emphasis on it. To me, it would the overwhelming weight would crush me of like, I'm going to explode my head right now.
Yeah, there was a lot of different thoughts going on. But as far as our first batch here that we brewed at Lady Face, you know, we'd been through, you know, months of construction and finding, you know, appropriate brewery and purchasing the brewery and going through the installation. I was like a kid staring at the Christmas presents under the tree, like just waiting to rip the, you know, the wrappers off. You know, I was really excited and there was definitely no nervousness. It was more about just this really strong urge to you know, play with the new toys.
Nice. Did you guys have a focus on beers going into, you know, going into opening Lady Face, or were you kind of going, well, you know, we're going to make the popular beers and then be creative other side, or, you know, what was your plan for your beer styles? Because I noticed you have some pretty, you know, different beer styles. You guys aren't just pretty, you know, pigeonholing yourselves into one or two areas. You're pretty expansive with your lineup.
Yeah, well, I feel like in general, to kind of make a, you know, kind of a stylistic stamp on what we're doing is that we definitely focus on French and Belgian style brewing, especially the farmhouse style. And then we focus on what I call West Coast progressive, which would be anything that's unique. You know, people in California are kind of extreme and edgy and vibrant, and that's what we try.
I think that when I think edgy and vibrant, I think tasty. Okay. He's one of our co-hosts. Yeah,
wake him up.
You also got Doc over here, and then Scott, who you guys were talking about earlier. Yeah, I mean, your lineup is pretty crazy. And, you know, my experience, again, you know, I went there for lunch a few months back, and I was kind of, you know, shocked at how drinkable everything is. You know, I think so. There's some breweries that can, you know, they do one or two really, really well, right? And then everything else is kind of, okay, it's good, but their focus is really on this IPA, let's say, or whatever. But everything across the board was just phenomenal.
How many different beers did you have?
Well, I only had three because I had to drive. And, you know, I had to drive from Agoura Hills back to Lancaster. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to, like, get wrapped around a tree trunk or anything like that. But
it might have been preferable to driving through Lancaster.
Well, that's true.
Or to Lancaster. You've got to numb yourself up before you go there.
That's true. So what do we have in front of us, Scott?
Oh, yes. Thanks for sending beer, guys. We're drinking the Chesbro IPA. They name a lot of their beers after local landmarks, and Chesbro is a thoroughfare, big thoroughfare there in Agoura.
Oh, and we dropped them, I think.
I'm going to have a heart attack.
You?
Jeez,
yes.
Bro. Let's talk about the beer while we're getting
there. Yeah, they're off. Yeah, what do you guys think?
Wow, that's a 10% beer.
It's very, very hoppy nose.
Yeah, it doesn't drink like a 10%er, does it?
No, and it doesn't, it's not over-the-top bitter either, so it's got a lot of stuff going on there.
It is. There's a lot of hop flavor. Mm-hmm. You know, you run into those beers every once in a while that, you know, that people go, oh, this is like eating a hop pellet.
Or
but it's not. But this is in a really good way.
Or a lot of IPAs. I'm not a big IPA fan. When I get the one that's just all bitter, it's not about that.
You want to switch to the phone, JP, instead of Skype?
Yeah, let's do that. Would you mind? Well, let's see. Here, they came back online, so let me grab them again.
It was just sounding like crap, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think maybe this new connection will be better. What a time for Justin to get out of here, right? Dave, we got you guys.
Okay, we're switching to the phone.
All right, yep. David, if you can hear us, we're gonna give you a phone call on the old landline here. Sorry about that. We have a problem with Skype. We have a gremlin in our Skype feed. That just never wants us to use a free service. It just doesn't. It wants us to, you know, pay for a phone line, and I hate that.
Well, whatever's better.
Look at Scott. He's pulling baby duty right now.
Here, hold this.
Yeah, here, hold my baby while I call for a beer show. I'm a mom.
Can we get it to say its first words into a mic?
It.
More it.
Whatever. Tell me about this beer, Tasty. What do you think?
I think it's got a great, really grapefruit aroma.
Scott, your 1973 phone just messed it up.
No, they didn't have those in 1973.
Did you flip it closed and crank the crank to charge it up again?
No, you flip it open and then you dial the dial.
You know, normally I would look at the chat. I'm not even going to look at the chat because I don't even care anymore. Oh, good. Thanks for bringing your baby to work,
Bebo. I was trying to feed her.
Yeah, you hand it off to the... You
know. Well, why don't we do that? Why don't we take a break?
You hand it off to the bachelor in the room.
Yeah. Wow. Just like every other girl, just crying, waiting to get away from Scott. Yeah, thank you, Scott. Appreciate that.
Just lift your shirt up, Scott. That's all she wants.
Yeah, just try to dry fire that thing.
Take 5 minutes before she figures out that nothing happened.
I like this beer, dude.
I do, too.
I'm not an IPA guy, but
I'm not at all either. And this one's it's real floral, kind of tropical fruit. It's really nice.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of hop mouthfeel to it, too.
That's true. And it has that nice backbone also. And they're calling back again. So David, hello. We got you guys?
Okay. Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, no sweat. We can't figure it out. And if Justin can't figure it out, who normally hosts this thing, I'm sure as hell not going to be able to. So I don't know what's going
not
on.
Not for 1 week. Anyway.
But we're enjoying your Chesbrough IPA.
Let me read you the specs real quick. It's 9.7 ABV, 100 IBUs, 1.079 was the OG.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I really like it. I can feel I feel a little warm. Feel a little loose now.
Yeah, just a couple sips.
Well, yeah,
I know you guys don't bottle, but you know, thanks for doing that for us.
Well, I hope everything made it up okay. It seemed like I put enough bubble wrap in there to raise a sunken
just
ship.
Fine.
Yeah, everything was good. It's tasting real good too.
Yeah, that's perfect. I really enjoy it. Why? Tell me about the name. First of all, tell me about the name Ladyface.
It's actually a local right behind our brewery. There is a dominating a mountain that's kind of the geographic feature of Agora, and it's called Ladyface. Story has it that the Chumash Indians named it Ladyface.
Huh.
Yeah.
Old Indian. I like it.
I've hiked it many times. It's a great mountain.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little local boy.
Jewish guys don't hike.
We do.
Not very well. It's pretty awkwardly.
Yeah, we don't paint home exteriors either, but I broke the mold. What can I say?
You're going to try anything. Yeah, you're going to try anything. Yeah, it's very pleasant. You know, Doc and I, we're not... Tasty here is the IPA guy, and I really dig this, man.
Was this the first IPA you guys made, or has the recipe evolved?
Well, being a brew pub, all of our recipes kind of evolve with availability of raw materials. But we do have a house. It's just called the Ladyface IPA, which is a standard IPA. It's 6.8% alcohol, so much more stylistically correct. This is definitely more of the double IPA.
Ah, okay. And it says on your site, brewed with 11 different hop additions.
Yeah, right now we're using 8 different hops at, you know, pretty much 11 different times. We're adding hops all over the place.
Wow. And what do you guys think you get out of that? Just a more kind of defined flavor, or?
Well, I mean, the goal is to, at least for us with the IPA, is to de-emphasize the bitterness and re-emphasize hop flavor and hop aroma. So what we're trying to achieve with using a wide variety at a multiple of different times is kind of the opposite effect you get with a single hopped beer. We're looking for complexity and layers of character from the hops by using multiple different types of hops at different times.
Well, I think it's working for you.
Yeah,
that's the mouthfeel that I'm getting out of the beer. I mean, it's not so much mouthfeel as that when you go to taste the beer from the beginning of your tasting, because it's a process, right? The beer starts in the front, goes to the back, and then it clears and all that. The more layering you have in the hops, the more dynamic that experience is, and to me, it gives the beer like a thicker feel.
Unless you're in college, and then it starts at the back and finishes in the stomach.
Exactly.
You don't even taste it.
It's
just
gone.
Fire it back there.
Yeah.
You know, you say that on the website, it says, emphasis is on hop flavor and aroma with a long hoppy finish. And I tell you, that is a long hoppy finish.
Yeah, but it's not a bitter finish.
No.
Which is really nice.
Oh, yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
I was worried about starting our beer run with this one and killing my palate, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't know. Well, we'll see.
No, it's...
I really like it.
It's usually, you know, someone hands me an IPA in the middle of tasting a few different things. And
Well, a double IPA at that, too. It's not how we normally do it, but who cares?
You're right.
Throw caution to the wind.
It's not about the bitterness with this one.
No. Man, that's good. What kind of malts are you using that?
That beer in particular, all of our base malts for all of our beers are pils and malt.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so the pils and malt is the base because obviously a core of our brands are French and Belgian style, so it just leads in with that. And there's no need for us to keep two different stacks of base malts around. So we just use the pils and malt for our American style beers, which is a regular IPA, double IPA, and a porter. So we use the pils and malt as the base, and then we use a Belgian aromatic. We use Castle Caribbean as our crystal malt, and then we actually use a handful of Special B to darken it up a little bit.
And do you find that, I imagine, you don't find this, or else you wouldn't use it, but do you find an issue with brewing more American styles with a Pilsner malt? I mean, most of us, figure, well, we're going to make a porter, we're going to use a domestic two-row, or at least an English, but with a Pilsner base, what would that do for something more American, like a porter?
Well, I mean, for me, and I know everyone's palate's different, is that when I taste beers that are made with, because I've used a lot of American two-row, I just find that the base malt, when you use that Pilsen malt, it's a little cleaner. I don't know if lighter in character is the right word, but it has a kind of a crispness to it that I don't find with American two-row. Hmm. Which obviously, when we're brewing a Belgian triple, that's exactly what we're looking for, is that character to emphasize that.
Yeah.
But with an IPA, where there's so much hop character, or a porter, where there's so much chocolate malt going on, it does get masked a little bit. But I just think that the beers overall are a little crisper for that, the base malt choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly working out fine in this double IPA. I don't get any sort of like, gee, I wish it had more malt or more two-row flavor. It's just got a good malt backbone. I think, in general, that's what I get out of a Pilsner malt. I get a good beer flavor. I make some beers where I include a good like 20 or so percent Pilsner malt in the base, just to give it that good beer flavor.
Yeah, I mean, if we were brewing a million barrels a year and we're an extremely large company, from a financial standpoint, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But we're small enough and boutique enough that... we can purchase whatever we want, and that's currently what we're doing.
And the Belgian, is it domestic or Belgian?
The Pilsen malt right now, we were getting some from Germany right now. It's French, mm-hmm. And we have gone back and forth with some Canadian Pilsner malt, too.
Okay.
Interesting.
The tag that's on the bottle says this beer won a bronze medal at the 2010 LA International Beer Competition. And I kind of was wondering about the Southern California scene there. That's, I don't know if it's just my perception, but it kind of seems to be behind a little bit, especially for California, which is so beer-centric. So do you guys find that? Do you agree? And if so, like, has it hindered you? Does it work to your advantage?
I think it's changing fast.
Yeah.
That was kind of one of the reasons we... decided to do a brewery, is because there wasn't a lot going on down here. It was kind of this black hole in the beer world. But, the competition itself, invites entries from all over the world. So from the competition level, it's a neat thing to do. But certainly the LA beer scene is changing rapidly, and there's a lot of great breweries opening up almost on a weekly basis around here. So.
Wait, go ahead, Tasty.
You guys are both a brewery and a brew pub as well, that you have a restaurant there. So when you opened, did you find that the customers that arrived already had good beer knowledge, or did you have to bring them along in the craft beer world?
Well, I mean, the Maltos Falcons, one of the older homebrewing societies, is right down the street from us.
They're only seven, eight
miles from us. So we get a lot of the Falcons that come in. So obviously their beer knowledge is pretty good. But the average Joe, the guy that gets off work and comes in for a happy hour pint, yes, there's definitely an educational curve that we still go through. But there's few and far between. I still remember in the beginning, some guy walked in and thought it was the previous business that was here, that was kind of a taco shack with cheap margaritas. And he came in and sat down, put his $20 on the bar, and looked at the board and asked the bartender for Coors Light. And the bartender, all of our front of the house staff is beer server, Cicerone certified, went into the explanation of that there's no Coors Light for sale here. And the guy was like beside himself. He couldn't believe it.
But that's American.
Everybody's got that stuff.
When you, so like, we told him that his like firstborn had passed or something, he could not believe it, and he grabbed his $20 right off the bar and he bailed. He was gone. But we don't get very many of those, and most of the people that come in and are expecting a different type of experience or not familiar with the brewpub experience, most of those people are open to explanation, education, and you know I find it few and far between of people that. Say, I only drink this, and if you don't have it, we're leaving.
I do like that he took his $20 and bailed. I think that's funny.
And he didn't even ask for a Bud Light?
I got four beers in my $20, and I'm going to use it, and then I'm out of here. And
oh, man.
That was really all part of the plan. You know, it's about building a beer culture and certainly doing it locally. And every day, you know, there's not somebody that we spin in this direction. So it's fun. That's the fun part of it.
I do like that. I also like the fact that all your front of house staff, all your bartenders, and all your servers are Cicerone certified.
Yeah, it's important for them to have the knowledge so that you know the guests when they come in for an experience of beer, because like Serena said, we're kind of in a no man's land for beer, so we're trying to put a good foot forward and explain to people that. Beer is not just blue collar, and craft beer is not this pretentious, you know, high end wine drinking type of snobbery type of thing. It's approachable. You just need to know about it. And, you know, when people get educated about it, they get behind it, they get into it. So it's that whole knowledge thing, trying to just pass it through the community.
There is that that kind of attachment that I've noticed in the past couple of years to craft beer, where it is people are kind of realizing that it is more like a wine snobbery kind of thing. And I do like the breweries who are trying to demystify that, where it's not this big, crazy, creepy, like, you know, person behind the curtain kind of beer where, you know, it's just beer and well, it just has more Dave flavor. What's that? I'm sorry.
Oh, Dave can be the big creepy guy behind the curtain.
Yeah, but that's in his off time, I think. So, but you know what I mean? Like to take all that snobbery away and just say, look, it's beer, but it's just like your Coors Light, but it's different.
Try it, yeah.
It just, yeah, try it out. Take a look. It, you know, you don't have to know anything about it to enjoy it. You know, you don't have to know anything about cars to, you know, you don't have to be a mechanic to own a car kind of thing, right? It's, I don't know. I dig that.
Yeah, throw them down the, you know, a taster set for that $20.
Yeah, right.
I think one of the most fun things that I've seen is that people come in and say, I'm not a beer drinker, I'm a wine person, or whatever it is, and they'll end up finishing the night with a Chesbro or a sour beer or something completely different. It's not necessarily, you know, the entry level, you know, medium blonde that they go for, that they end up liking, that turns the tables for them. So that's kind of a fun.
It is weird. I think that would be the best part about being a bartender or owning a place is to find out what people's gateway beer is.
Chesbro.
Yeah?
That's the one.
It's got to be, man. And then, you know, even if it's not, at the end of the night, they think it is because they're hammered.
No, well, good.
It is interesting to have the person that says, I don't like beer, and then half an hour later they're ordering a Creek, you know.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'm curious, why did you focus on like a Belgian French style beers being in LA, being in Southern California, over the, you know, the dominant West Coast, you know, every beer has to be almost like an IPA but with different shades in it?
I kind of thought it was something unique that I think all of America really hadn't fully embraced at the time. I mean, you got to realize this was 5-6 years ago, you know, that we got inspired to go down this road. So things are changing quickly, and I think people are a lot more familiar with Belgian style ales.
Yeah,
less so with French, but you know, that was kind of the fun part. And when Dave and I first sat down and had our couch meeting, you know, I said, so what kind of beers do you think you'd like to make? And you know, I was just like holding my breath, hoping he would say Belgian, and he did. Yes.
It sounds like you guys were just made for each other, and that kind of bothers me because you know, every brewery should have just a, you know, a cooperative team like that. That kind of, yo, you want to do this? Yes, let's do it. Done. And let's be let's think out of the box. I'm stoked when I hear of new breweries. Not that, you know, you're a new brewery, but breweries not just immediately going for everything is over 100 IBUs, and that's all we're gonna do. And maybe here's a blonde ale.
Well, it bothers JP, but the question is, does it bother your spouses?
No, that's true.
No, we're more like brother and sister. I mean, you know, I've got some years on Dave. Doesn't show on the radio talk show, but, you know.
Yeah, but that's been done before.
That's true. No, that's awesome. What are we drinking now, Moscow?
This is the Belgian triple. It's the Troifeli. Is that right?
Troifeli.
Troifelis.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
A traditional Belgian style strong golden ale brewed with a mirage of spicy, fruity, and alcohol flavors supported by soft malt character.
Yep.
There you go. What do you guys think?
Very Belgian. It's almost Brett like. Is there Brett in there?
No, there's not. We do use that beer is obviously Pilsen based with wheat, honey malt from Gambrinus, and carapils to bring out a little body.
It's almost more of a saison than a triple, but I like the marriage of the two because it's neither but both. It's kind of really nice.
It has great esters, man.
Yeah,
I mean you're smelling it. You go, this is obviously a Belgian.
Let's play Can Doc Guess the ABV?
Oh, that's a good game.
Oh, like all their beers, it's up there pretty good. About 9-ish.
A little lower, 8.3.
Okay.
22 IBUs.
I like it.
Yeah.
It is real fruity, but not like overly fruity, you know what I mean?
So, Dave,
you
know what percent?
Well, yeah.
Dave, what percent honey malt is in this beer?
It's really low. I would say, off the top of my head, it's probably like 2 or 3%. It's pretty low.
That's what I was thinking. I can't tell it's in there at all.
What temperature would you ferment a beer like this at to pull out those nice yeast characteristics?
We actually start the first 48 around 65, and then we turn up the jackets up to about 70 for the next 2 days, and then we just turn the jackets off, and it gets up to around 72, 73 at the very end.
It's got a nice Orval kind of back to it. It's more fruity, and it's got a couple other things in there, but it's that clean,
yeah,
Orval.
It is
dryness
clean
to it.
Yeah, it is. It is dry. Some triples I have where you know it's just this cloying, just overly sweet. But this is has that dry crispness, but yes, it has that malt.
Uh-huh.
Flavor that you know, that backbone, which I guess is you
softness.
Know, I tend to overuse, right. But yeah, it is. It's very, very good beer.
So it does get super hot in the San Fernando Valley. I still have post traumatic stress disorder from growing up there, and it gets like triple digits in the summer. Does it complicate brewing at all? Like when it gets super hot, or just more costs?
Just for me, not for the beer.
Just yeah, because you have to mop those floors and sweat dripping off the brow, and then you got to remop, and it never ends.
The beer's refrigerated. He's not.
Well,
yeah, we
true.
Get the sauna effect going on inside the brewery come August time, but it's all right. It only lasts for a little bit, and, you know, when Serena's not looking, I'll sneak into the office and crank the thermostat down.
Or just, I have to go sort kegs in the walk-in for 8 hours. I'm sorry, I can't be out in the brewery right now. I know how it goes. I worked in a brewery before. All right, well, why don't you guys hang in there? We're going to take a break, and then we come back. I want to hear more about your barrel program. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about your food. You know, we were saying you guys aren't really a typical brew pub in the fact that you just have, like, burgers and fries and everything deep fried. You actually put a lot of effort into your food, and I'd love to talk to you guys about that if you can hang on a bit.
Sure.
Cool. All right. It's the session. We're on with Ladyface in Agoura Hills. Back after this.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hey brewers, it's planting season. Have you ever dreamt of walking through your own hop garden? Well, look no further than Woodburn, Oregon, and the Crosby Family Hop Farm. Blake Crosby and his family have been passionately growing hops for 5 generations.
And right now, they're taking orders for 2012 rhizomes for all retail and wholesale customers. The Crosbys know how to grow hops and are here to help you establish your family's very own successful hop garden. In fact, when you plant a hop rhizome from the Crosbys, you're using the same plant your favorite professional brewer bought his hops from. Friendly professional service, fast shipment, and quality hops at competitive prices. The Crosby family brings all of this to you. Call 503-982-5166 or visit bcrosbyhops.com and let Blake Crosby and the Crosby Hop Farm help make your hop garden a reality. bcrosbyhops.com. Hops from the Crosby family farm to yours.
And now, Northern Brewer presents What If Homebrewers Ruled the World?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll follow me, I will lead you into the gallery area. Now, the first piece up for sale today is a Jamil Zainashev original, a bottle of 1997 vintage Evil Twin.
Oh, I say!
A bidding for this one-of-a-kind piece will start at £7,000. And if you'll continue to follow me, ladies and gentlemen, I can sell you a rather abstract piece from Bay Area brewer Justin Crossley. It's a German Doppelbach entitled Justin's Giant Bach. The brewer's notes here indicate that this beer had excellent mouthfeel.
That's just a crazy dream. Or is it? With Northern Brewer, a thirsty nation can craft its own ale and lager for the greater good of mankind. Northern Brewer, the home of $7.99 Brew Saver shipping, superior customer service, and the finest selection of home brewing goods for the future.
What'd you get? More brewing ingredients?
Yep. You know what I love about Brewmaster's Warehouse?
The $6.99 shipping.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, the in-store classes for beginning brewers.
Yeah, that's cool, but...
Oh, the Brew Builder. Creating and saving your recipes online is awesome!
No, I'm... Yes, but...
The cheese-making supplies.
No.
Oh, the wine-making supplies. Oh, the distilling equipment and liquor flavorings.
All that stuff is awesome, yes, but what I really love is that the guy who runs it is totally hot. And that Brew Builder software is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Brewmaster's Warehouse brings you flat rate shipping on great equipment and ingredients to make beer, wine, cheese, and spirits at brewmasterswarehouse.com. And if you're in Georgia, stop by Brewmaster's Warehouse Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. Visit brewmasterswarehouse.com today because it's totally hot.
Oh, yeah.
What's funny is, brewers will say, yeah, I don't brew to stop. I'm brewing my own beer. And it's like a German Pilsner, but it's black.
Yeah, it's a sports beer. You know?
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to The Session.
Into this session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right, we're back on the session. Thanks for hanging out with us. We are on with Serena and Dave from Ladyface Ale House in Agoura Hills, California. And Scott, I hope you brought back a nice, tasty Ladyface beer with you.
In fact, I did. Yep. The Syrah Barrel Aged La Trappistine Belgian Dark Strong.
Did he say that right, Serena?
Probably not.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
See, he's learning.
Give myself a hand.
You can be taught French.
Even redheads can learn French.
Not a redhead.
You look like it. Strawberry blonde. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Here, pour me a little bit.
Redheads have freckles and orange hair.
Yeah.
So you're a day one.
You have freckles and orange hair, no. Scott. No, have you looked in a mirror since 1988 or, you know?
I'm going to pull up some Google images of a redhead. You can see what a redhead looks like.
I'm looking at one right now. No, I don't need a Google
image.
You're
looking at brown hair.
You are my Google image.
You have a weird filter on your eyes.
I do.
Do you have contacts in?
No. Oh, over my glasses?
Yeah. Some sort of orange-filtered contacts?
Just pour the beer. So you guys have, obviously, you have a barrel program down there.
Yeah, it's we're a small brew pub, so it's a small barrel program. But yeah, right now we have 20 barrels.
20 barrels. Wow, that seems kind of is that a lot? I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't own a brewery.
We have 18. I'm sorry, we have 18.
See, you're lying to me, Dave. Now I can't believe anything that you ever say.
Is your name even Dave?
Put Dave on. What'd you do with Dave?
I work for Golden. Whoa, I turned my mic off for a second.
Your beers are strong, Dave, by the way.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, we forgot to send up our American Light Lager for you guys.
So we needed that as a starter beer.
Well, we wouldn't know. I mean, as long as the lady face on the label turns blue, we know that American Light Lager is cold to drink. Otherwise, I don't know if we know when these are ready to drink. Tell me about your barrel program. To me, 18 barrels in a small brewery seems like a lot, and it kind of seems like a pain in the butt to manage, but... you know, I don't really know anything, so I'm relying on you to teach me.
Well, the barrel program that we have, all of our barrels come from local wineries or relationships with wineries that are in the Pastorolis area that we either enjoy their products or we know the winemakers. And then just recently, we just purchased 4 Maker's Mark barrels straight from the distillery. So,
oh, wow.
Overall, we're not able to release... you know, a lot of it. So when we release the barrel stuff, it's normally just here at the brew pub. We're not able to really get it out to the masses, per se, because it's just such a small volume. But we really enjoy getting these barrels, making relationships with the winemakers, and then releasing it unto the unbeknownst public. And a lot of the times... we don't go through heavy advertising angles and stuff like that. So we'll just put it on tap one day, and the next guy that walks in happens to order it. And it's a little bit of an eye-opener for some people.
Really? So it's not anything that you guys kind of tout or, you know, try to be known
we'll
for. It's just
it
more experimentation.
We'll Facebook it. But, you know, we're not a large company, so we don't have national coverages on Sunday afternoon football games.
What? You don't?
I'm pretty sure I saw a Ladyface commercial during the season.
No, we're actually the Trappistine that you're drinking was last year's. We have a fun, friendly competition with our local winery called Battle of the Barrel, and that was our entry. And we have the current Golden Barrel sitting behind the bar because we won that first competition. So it's a reigning title this summer, and we're going to get some big guns out too.
Wait, what is this competition about?
It's we're just pitting wine against beer in all its simplicity. Yet we're going beyond that, and we're
from the same barrel.
So that was a Syrah barrel from Malibu Family Wines, and we put the Trappistine in there, and they brought out their Syrah from that barrel.
Oh, I see. So you're even showing them up with a barrel that they've already used. They've already gotten all that they can get out of it, and you're like, no.
We can get more out of that.
Not only can we get more, we can win.
Well, and that beer, the Trappistine that you guys have, does contain Brettanomyces.
Yeah, we're getting
that. Okay. What's the base style of this beer?
The base beer was basically a Belgian double, but a little higher in alcohol, with prunes, blueberries, and cranberries.
Wow. Oh, man, that's good.
So was it at 9.2 before it went into the barrel, or that's the finished product?
Yeah, you know, the ABV doesn't change that much, maybe a couple points, you know, on the 10th side, but it was pretty much the same when we came in and came out.
And how long was it in the barrel?
We were able to get, I think, about 7 months, 8 months out of that. I would have loved to let it go 3 years. We just sometimes, the competition's coming around the corner, and we really wanted to see them drink some two-buck chuck on the rocks.
Where are you keeping the barrels? Because you guys don't have a ton of square footage there, do you?
The brewery is 1,100 square feet, and it's we're pretty efficient with space. We work in a perfect square box as far as the footprint of the brewery. So the barrels literally sit right in the middle of the brewery next to the brew kettle.
That's awesome.
I keep pushing for warehouse space, but you know we're deciding, do we want a delivery van or warehouse space this year? That's we're making do.
Or do you want Dave to be able to have full control of the thermostat during the summer months?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like that's not even on the table.
Should be.
It all goes into his bottom line, right?
Yeah. You should, every time he does it, be like, look, do you want us to buy two more barrels, or do you want to not sweat?
Yeah. I guess it's sweating for now.
Well, do you have a delivery van? I guess I'm really asking is, do you deliver, you have beer going outside the brewery, or is it all consumed there on premises?
It's either Dave's pickup truck or my SUV, so.
All right. So you deliver a few kegs locally, I guess you would say?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
What kind of places are you at? Any places that people would want to hear about?
We only go to beer-centric places, so they never see us at sports bars with 100 taps full of American Light lagers. But our farther south, we sell beers. We have beers on tap at Stone Bistro right now.
Cool.
Nice.
And then we have beers at 10 to 15 locations throughout L.A. and the Santa Monica and the San Fernando Valley. And then we have a couple accounts in the Ventura and Ojai area.
So places like Father's Office.
Are you at Tony's? Tony's Darts Away.
Surly Goat. Just tried to drop.
Tony's Darts Away. Yeah. You know, Mohawk Band. Those more of the beer forward craft places.
Right.
I like Tony's.
And these are your mainstream beers, or are some of these Belgian barrel beers? Do they get that far? Or?
Some of the Belgian barrel aged beers do, but not a lot.
Not a lot. And that's in like a 5 gallon format.
We do have 5 gallon and 15 gallons. We really are for us personally, we sell a lot more of the half barrels just because that's what we own. We own 20 small kegs, you know, the 6 barrels, and it doesn't take long to run out of those. So most people are getting half barrels. We prefer the half barrels for a couple different reasons. You know, it allows the beer to be on tap for more than 3-4 days.
Right.
And it makes it worth it for us to drive 20 miles to get somewhere.
I imagine that's...
In your SUV, yes.
Right. With gas prices as they are right now.
As long as your truck has air conditioning.
But 20 miles in Southern California is basically a few blocks.
It's like an hour, yeah.
Well, you don't do miles, you do time.
That's
how
right.
How many minutes is it going to be like from here to there? An hour or whatever?
Well, it's 10 miles away. No.
How long does it take me to get there?
You got to take 101 to the 405 and get off on Sepulveda, and it's a disaster.
it's a whole day's affair. You know, I plan my route and, you know, in and out, 5 minutes.
This is a very nice beer. I mean, there's a lot of different layers to it.
Well, it's with the low carbonation, it's kind of very wine-like. So, yeah, I could see it going head-to-head with a wine and winning.
And so, was there like a panel of judges, or did you guys knife fight afterwards? How do you pick the winner for this thing? I love the idea of the comp.
It's wine. They beat each other with berets.
No, it was $5. You get a glass of wine, you get a glass of beer, and a ballot, and it just it was like the old third grade, do you like me or do you not like me?
So you had to smooth, maybe.
You had to check Y for yes.
Yes, and there was right around 300 people, and we only won by a handful of votes. So it was interesting, and the thing that I found kind of unique and kind of interesting to me was that most of the people that signed up through the winery voted for the beer, and most of the people that signed up through the brewery voted for the wine.
Wow. Whoa.
Interesting.
And you have it's kind of cool that you have that segmented out. That's exactly what I would want to know is who, you know, which of my people didn't vote for me. But I would think of it in a negative light because I hate myself.
Well, you want to off them as friends.
Right. I'm going to delete you now.
It was vote early, vote often. So we think that, you know, all the patrons of Ladyface probably voted more than once and for a couple different products there.
That would never happen. I'm sure beer people are always stand-up individuals. I love it. I think it's a great idea. Is it with the same winery, or are you going to do it with different wineries?
Right now, it's the same winery. It's actually the Malibu Family Wines. They have two different labels. They do similar vineyards, and they also do Saddle Rock. It's right on the other side of Ladyface Mountain for us, so very local. And they have, some of our barrel-aged sour beers that we do, as far as the Belgian beers, are directly from their winery. So we got a great relationship with them. We enjoy them as people, and we enjoy their products. So it's, from a business standpoint, it works out nicely.
Well, if you guys win too many more times, you're going to have to find somebody else to beat up on.
Dave and I are actually enjoying our first barrel release for this year, which is the Trebuchet. And that came out of one of Malibu Family Wine's Sauvignon Blanc barrels.
What's that?
That's what we're drinking on our end.
What's that beer?
I always wanted to build a Trebuchet.
The Trebuchet is unique. Actually, last year we brewed an Imperial Saison, and half of it just went from the stainless fermenter directly to our serving tanks and went on tap, and the other half went into four Sauvignon Blanc wine barrels, which were French oak from Malibu Family Wines. And again, when we get these barrels, we drive up to the winery, we'll wash the barrels being emptied into the tank, they throw them in the back of the truck, we drive them back to the brewery, we steam them and we fill them pretty much right away. So the wine character leaches into the beer quite a lot. And then with this particular beer, we put a pint of lacto in each barrel and let it go for about 7 months.
Wow, an Imperial Saison on French oak sounds awesome to me. I want to eat it. I want to gelatinize it and freeze it and then eat it.
Make
somehow.
Popsicles.
Yeah, that sounds really good to me. French oak is kind of my favorite. Hungarian's all right, but it's French all the way for me.
You guys told me that you had a little barrel mishap. Was it last year, an explosion? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was our first run at a beer called Guillotine. And it's basically our Blind Ambition, which is a Belgian Abbey Ale, so like a low-alcohol Belgian double. And we aged that in some Justin Vineyards Cabernet barrels. And with this particular one, there was 40 pounds of Chilean Bing cherries inside of a couple different barrels. And a staff member who was in the brewery asking me questions one morning was asking about the rotation and what's going on. And we had just put in all the cherries into this barrel, because the beer was in there for a few weeks to kind of let, some off-gassing and other stuff and the pressure kind of subside before we added more sugar to the fermentation. So we put the cherries in there and put an airlock on top of the barrel and a cherry skin wrapped around the end of the airlock, and it built some decent pressure.
Oh, no.
And he's asking me, Is there any way for this thing to get jammed and for this thing to build a lot of pressure and explode? And I'm explaining to him, absolutely not. That's why the airlock's on there. And on cue, perfectly, the airlock exploded, and probably 20 pounds of the cherries were on the ceiling. And I still find them every once in a while. It's probably. It was launching cherry juice 30 feet away from the blast site.
I just can't believe it happened.
And was like, wow. And I looked at him and I was like, why'd you jinx the barrel?
I would say he definitely did. I mean, he did the jinxing. Yeah,
it's all your fault.
I can't believe it happened that second.
Fire him. He's fired.
The weird thing is that it might be the best one ever.
Right.
It won't have as many cherries.
That's for sure. I was told to ask about your trip to Belgium, and specifically your journey at the Rodenbach Brewery.
Yeah, well, Rodenbach, the funny thing is we ended up in Belgium on Easter weekend. And I had maybe 4 days to spend with Dave and his girlfriend. They were going on and doing another adventure through the rest of the country, but I had to meet some in-laws in the south of France, and so we went to, we had this, first of all, we couldn't even find Rodenbach. It was snowing. We drove up and down the freeway and got lost many times. Finally ended up there, I think, a day later, and it was closed because it was Easter weekend, and and Belgium is very Catholic, and so everything shuts down.
It's a different kind of Easter.
Yeah.
So it was, not completely shut down. The gates were open, so we drove in as any dumb American tourist would. And
Oh, sure. It's not locked. I can go in.
So we wandered around, and the building itself is spectacular and very historic, as you can imagine, and very photogenic. And so, being dumb tourists, we just kind of wandered in the front room and knocked on some doors and windows, and nobody was home. And I'm like, well, there's nobody here, Dave, let's leave. And I turn around and he's gone. So we finally follow him, and he's found the brew deck, right? And up on the second floor. He's found the back staircase. And he's got back up. We've also brought over probably a couple six-packs of our own brew to share with any random Belgian brewers that we might run into on the trip.
Got to do it.
So he's got his little coveted six-pack, and he's wandering around upstairs trying to find a brewer to share it with.
I think the brewer saw us on camera and started running down. What are you doing there?
So they said, you know, in their best broken French English to, you know, get the hell out. And, you know, of course, I pretended I didn't speak French at that point. And they shuffled us down the stairs. And then we wandered into the tasting room, and there was a film crew in there trying to film a commercial. And we got thrown out of there, too. So
You got thrown out of Rosenbach. You got thrown out of the place where most homebrewers would go to die. Right. They don't even want you there. They don't want you dirtying their linens. They say, get out of here.
We just wanted a proper pint.
That's all. That's all.
And seems reasonable.
I don't. I wonder if these Belgian brewers know, you know, the lengths that us brewers in the States will go to get a pint of beer from their brewery in their tasting room and experience the whole thing. I mean, to them, it must be like, get out of here. What are you doing? I don't want to do this, but. I don't know. To us, I think it's just way more, you know.
It was
passionate.
Like a pilgrimage.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And, you know, I think some of them get it, but I think maybe for the most part, I don't know if they do.
Well, it's kind of a religious thing. You know, you make it all the way to Rodenbach, and heck, they're doing their own religious thing called Easter.
Yeah, it's a little different Easter. There's not a lot of bunny rabbits.
No, it's not.
No, you guys didn't interrupt the Easter egg hunt at Rodenbach? I'd like to get into your food menu, because in addition to the great beers that I had, we also had some good food. And I don't know why, for some reason, your food menu kind of set it apart from any other brewery or you know, these gastropubs that are popping up. It just set it apart. Your offerings, you know, you have duck confit salad, you know, braised chicken, croque monsieur, steak tartare.
Ooh.
You know, roast butternut squash with brown sugar and rosemary. Like, all of these foods, and, you know, my girlfriend and I are sitting there, I don't know what to eat. I think we ultimately got the mac and cheese. It just sounded real good. But you have a plate of charcuterie, like French dip, I think maybe is what I got. I don't know. These things that you don't normally find at a brew pub. I'd hate to even call you guys a brew pub. It seems kind of like demeaning to what you actually have as your menu. Can you talk about your inspiration for that, and why kind of, you know, try to class it up a little bit? Why not go for deep fried everything?
Well, I mean, I think it sounds fancier than it is, and that's the last thing we wanted to do. You know, I think a lot of those dishes are very kind of country peasant dishes at their very heart, even in France or Belgium. But with Belgian ales, you have to pair it right. You know, and that was kind of Dave and my pet peeves. You know, you'd go in and you'd have these world-class beers, and you wouldn't have great food to put with it. And I kind of hear that from some other brewers too, and that's their frustration. You know, they're busting their ass to make great beers, and the food isn't up to par. So kind of, you know, it set the standard right off the bat, because I knew Dave was that kind of brewer, and we wanted the food. We wanted the food to be good. You know, it doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be fussy. You know, living in California, you've got access to some of the greatest produce in the world, and you know, let's put it on the plate. Let's make it fresh, and let's make it unique. And so that's kind of what we set out to do, you know. And you guys be the judge if you've eaten here, but you know, that's what we love. Dave's a foodie; he's a great cook too. So that was kind of the inspiration: is pair great beer with great food.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It blew me away. Did you plan? What did you plan first, if anything? Did you plan the beer to go the French Belgian route on the beer first, or the food, or was the brewery first and the food second, or you know, how did that shake out?
Well, it was kind of, you know, I mean, Dave and I love Belgian beer, and so, you know, the food kind of comes from there. My husband's French, so, you know, I'm kind of twisting Dave's arm a lot with the French words. He kind of beats me down with stick every once in a while, but, so that's kind of, you know, where my heart is, and, but I, you know, you got a great burger and great fish and chips. There's some food on there that you can't argue with, you know, it goes great with beer, so you can't steer away from that too. So it's very mixed. There's something for everybody on the menu.
That is true. You do need a great burger with beer, you know, that's my good food.
You're having these awesome beers and pub foods and a cheeseburger.
Right.
Great. A cheeseburger goes with everything, but the stuff, I was looking at your menu, it's just awesome. And you're saying it's pretty much cheap peasant food, kind of, if you really think about it, with a French name, but it's really,
it's more than that, though.
But it's a comfort food. It's really what it is.
Yeah, that's a good way. That's a good way to think about it. It's something different. I mean, it's part of the reason why that we drink craft beer. We drink craft beer to be different. If we wanted a burger and chips and fish and chips with every beer, then we'd just drink Coors Light.
If I was in an English pub, I would probably want fish and chips. And
well, you got to do it once to see how it is, right?
But with this dark strong, I want to be eating some rabbit or something.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I that was one of the reasons why I really was excited to talk to you guys, is because not only are you doing creative things with the beer, but the food is a little different as well. So, I don't know. I appreciate that from someone who's been to your place once and had your beers twice. It left an impression on me. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool.
Thank you.
Let's take some questions from the chat. You guys up for fielding questions from our listeners?
Sure.
All right. Here we go. Film Lab Rat in the chat wants to know if you guys are members of the Maltos Falcons. I know you talked about them a little bit, but in your homebrewing days, were you guys part of that crew?
Yeah, I've been a Maltos Falcon for about 10 years. I'm not very active. Their meetings are normally on Sundays, and when I'm not at the brewery, I do enjoy my family and being at home. So, yes, I'm a Falcon. Do I participate in a lot of the weekend excursions and events? No, not so much.
No. Well, that whole family thing will do it to you, man.
Yeah, work, family, fun.
It can't just all be IPAs, I guess,
Well, it could, but you'd be real lonely, I think.
Right. Yeah, I'd be lonely.
You and your 18 barrels just talking away. Rock Goblin.
Gotta babysit him.
Rock Goblin in the chat asks, how long do you guys keep your beer in the bright tanks before your bottle or keg for distribution? How long from finish of fermentation until we're drinking it on the tap?
That's an ever-changing scenario. If we are out of a certain product, let's just say that currently we're out of blonde right now. Mm-hmm. Next week we're going to transfer blonde, and from the time it's in the fermenter until it's in your pint glass is, 2 hours.
Sounds about good.
But most of the time we like to not filter the beer and let it have natural sedimentation or serving tanks. So in that case, when we do straight transfers, the beer will sit there for about 5 days for the yeast to settle, and then we'll carbonate it, and serving tanks lead right to the faucets. There's no in-between. Yeah. The beer that's on tap at the brew pub comes directly from the tanks.
That's my dream.
Very nice.
Beer Addict wants to know what your hop schedule is. I imagine, he says for the beer, but I imagine it's for the Chesbro Double IPA.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Which
goes along with another guy's question, Fierce Beard. He says, with 11 hop additions, how long is your boil?
The boil's an hour. We do a 60, a 20, an end of boil, two separate dry hops, and a serving tank hop.
Oh, wow. Man, that's a lot.
Bust it up any way you want.
Yeah. Is that something that you guys change the minutes on to kind of dial in, or did you know right up front, here's a double IPA, here's my recipe, this is how we're doing it?
Well, as far as the timing, as far as 60, 20, end of boil, dry hop, those were all kind of set. Just all of our beers by nature are 60, 20. Some of them get end of boil and dry hopped. I prefer just philosophically that 20-minute mark for flavor addition, just because I think it takes kind of the edginess off. If we're going to add, which we've done trials of beers at, let's say the IPA, instead of 20-minute addition for flavor, doing the half an hour addition, obviously IBUs climb up a little bit more. But the harshness, the edginess of the hops, I think it's a little more increased. I notice it myself. So we prefer a 20-minute addition. As far as the hops, we do across the boards for all of our beers, we bitter hop with Warrior. High alpha hop, super clean, neutral kind of character. So whether it's our blonde ale, our wit beer, or our Chesbro, Warriors, our bittering hop. And then when you get into the 20-minute addition, end of boil and dry hop and serving tank hops is when we're doing varieties and heavy handfuls.
Okay. Doggy Beer Bones in the chat, which is a nice, it's a cute name. wants to know your plans for sour beers. And obviously, you have a couple.
Brett beers.
But, yeah, but do you have any? You have any big plans to expand that kind of lineup?
We have plans. Whether we're able to knock down the walls and whatnot is another another conversation. But we just released the Trebuchet for this year. We're going to release in a few months. It's not yet determined when we're going to release it because the beer is still sitting in barrel. But we're going to release a full version of the Guillotine, which as I mentioned before, is a Belgian Abbey Ale. With Brettanomyces and Lacto in Justin Cabernet barrels. And then after that, we'll see. There's always stuff that's going on, a new concept. Trying to come up with. Serena's been asking for a beer to Mars, so that's something that we've been looking at and probing into as far as information, as far as tradition and raw materials. So that's probably coming down the line pretty soon.
I like that. I like that you're actually researching these beers instead of just going, oh yeah, let's just make that.
You like the word probe?
Yeah, I was only, like that. I was like kind of listening. Something about a Mars probe.
Mars probes, dude.
Yeah, it's the lunar lander.
Yeah. it sounds like a porn move.
Dave, can you describe your brew house to us a little bit? What's your size? Your kettle and so forth.
Good question, Tasty.
Okay, we have it's a Premier Stainless. It's a brand new 7-barrel system. It's direct fired. It's a 3-vessel, so we have a mash tun, hot liquor tank, and kettle. And then we have 3 7-barrel fermenters, and we have 2 15-barrel fermenters. And then the serving tanks, we have 2 7-barrel serving tanks and 4 15-barrel serving tanks.
Now, a little bit about your process. You obviously you focus on emphasizing the flavor and the aroma in beers. What do you do in your process to make all that happen? I mean, we talked about recipe wise late additions, but you do a flame out, long whirlpool rest, and so forth.
No, not necessarily. I don't think much longer than anyone else, but I think what we really try to do is that we really focus and make a conscious effort to buy high-end, world-class raw materials, whether it be barley or hops or yeast. Obviously, the water is what's coming out of the, the backside of the filter that's here, which we only use carbon filter because we have great, fantastic California water. But as far as the hops and the barley and the yeast, we spend a lot of time talking with vendors, talking with producers, talking with farmers about trying to source the best possible raw materials, and then incorporating those into the brew house. Obviously, on the French and Belgian side is kind of the philosophy. We try to have our beers be somewhat dry so that they're a little bit more food friendly. And then, within that, on brew day and fermentation and service, we try to take all the time and effort that we can because there's no rush for us. We don't have, big semis waiting at our docks, waiting for thousands of kegs to go out to other states. if a beer takes 1 month or 3 months to make, that's it. We're going to wait that long. There's no compromise. Mm-hmm.
I think you can increase the time if you frost brewed a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just a tip that I've picked up over the years, and I'd like to pass on to you.
I saw that on TV as well.
Yeah.
And chill filter.
Well, you would chill filter.
What
but,
about 3-hop additions? I think that's a good idea.
You can think about that too. I don't want to overload them. You know what I mean?
Actually, just cut it down to 10-hop additions. think of what you could do.
Speaking of hop additions, we've had a couple questions on advice of using that many hops. How do you blend so many different varieties together in a way that's pleasing? I know there's some combinations that may not taste good together. Is that another trial and error thing, or are you just that good?
No, it's definitely a trial and error type of thing. But for me, when I'm trying to come up with a concept as far as like currently what we're doing with IPA and Chesbro, is that we're taking hops that have positive qualities but might be lacking in other areas and associate that with a hop that accentuate that area. So let's say, for example, for our 20-minute addition and our dry hopping addition on IPA and Chesbro, I really, really like Crystal Hop, which is a very low alpha, very soft, kind of earthy. But I'm also looking for kind of a zip to it, so I actually blend that with Summit, because Summit is a high alpha with with a little edginess to it. So by putting those two together, I think I'm at least trying to achieve on a concept level, the nice spicy earthiness of Crystal, but give it a little more zip with the Summit.
Okay, interesting. What do you think about that, Tasty?
I think, well, again, that's just, you know, all about how the beer tastes when you drink it. It's all the different points in the palate that have to get hit. And, the two together sounds like, to me, yes, they would create a point there that you would definitely notice.
On a homebrew level, I don't know if I have the patience to do that. I mean, I like brewing so much different, you know, so many different things that that'd be hard for me, especially with a beer like that.
It's an added element to the beer. I mean, it's not the end all, but it's certainly... It's better if you drive the train than it drive you. So, the more you can like think about it, the more you can apply recipe and ingredients to the process. Yeah.
Well, on the flip side of that, as a home brewer, you can do that, and as a pro brewer, you're thinking, I can't do that.
Well, that's true, I suppose. Yeah.
And
you have bottom line,
a little bit of everything.
Yeah, because there's so many things telling you can't do it, and they're doing it.
All right, guys, one last question from the chat. This is from Afterlab. He says, Ladyface ages a few barrels in Cabernet Sauvignon barrels. What is it about that particular, wine? Or, you know, what makes you gravitate towards Cabernet Sauvignon barrels? Is it the barrel from the cooper? Is it the wine in the barrel? What is that?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I gravitate towards any great wine barrel that's free.
Oh, well, there you go.
I wasn't going to say that, but yeah.
Oh. Budgetary issue.
Why not?
Dave does his share of wine tasting up there, so in Paso and then up the local vineyards. So he's, you know, we are fortunate that we get to barrel sample the wine before it's drained and we can...
Nice.
Well, you should probably just say, well, we have this great relationship with this winery.
Yeah, we do. We have fantastic relationships with our local wineries, and that's why we have the benefit of getting barrels. Because as much as we enjoy the wine and the whole kind of thing, you know, we get to walk away from it. We're not the winemaker. We're not the growers out there in the fields, you know, with a sore back every day. So when you get to show up and trade a few cases of beer and a handshake for a couple barrels, it's a good deal, at least for me.
They also happen to like Chesbro, by the way.
Dave, just one more question. I got a good mental image of what your brew house looks like. What is the brew day like? Or do you have to? Can you brew while people are in the restaurant, or is it one of those brew pubs where you can only do it when the guests are there?
No, we're separate. The restaurant itself, the total footprint is roughly 5,000 square feet. We have a when you walk down a hallway towards our restrooms, there's a third door that is glass door that looks into the brewery. So it's an isolated area. And we brew, three, four times a week, whether we're open or closed, you know, we're brewing if the beer needs to brewing.
That door I'm pounding on.
Exactly.
I want a tour.
Yeah. Are you guys open during Easter? That's the question also.
No, they're in Belgium.
Oh, yeah.
No, we Easter if you want.
What's that?
We can throw you out on Easter if you want. But
where do I sign up for that? They get thrown out of Ladyface on Easter.
You have to get thrown out
trip.
But three different places.
That's true.
You can't go here. No, you can't go there.
All right, guys. Serena, Dave, thank you very much for hanging in there and answering our weird questions. I really appreciate it. And more importantly, thanks for sending your awesome beer.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I appreciate it again. And if you're interested, go to ladyfaceale.com, or better yet, go to Agoura Hills, hang out at the brewery, eat some great food, drink some great beers, and,
swing by the high school when you're there. Check out the mural that I painted that's still there.
And the 13.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, you're the culprit.
That's me.
Have you guys? Are you familiar with this mural?
No, they're not.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a charger.
Oh, really?
Well. What? Describe it for me, Dave, please.
Yeah, right.
And be honest.
Are you talking about the mural that's outside the gym?
No, I'm talking about the mural at the pool. It's like a girl water polo swim and dive.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Mm-hmm. I did that no one gave me permission. I just went and did it.
Yeah.
Well, it's graffiti.
Are you talking about the graffiti back by the access road?
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, the mural I did in between the grout of the tiles in the boys' bathroom of a wiener
with a paper
and two
clip.
Boobies.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I saw that one.
It's a good one. I think I might have done it. All right, guys, I'll let you go. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Go to ladyfaceale.com. Please go to their brewery. Stop by. Check it out. You won't be disappointed.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was awesome. That's good beer,
fun
too.
To hear everybody's story. Yeah, it's great.
Well, I was looking at all their beers, and beer. They're good all people. Big beers. They're 7.5 and up kind of things, and that's what I like to do. I like to hide the alcohol in it.
Because, yeah.
And alcohol has a flavor to it.
It does. And it's a sweetness, right? Or are you talking about something else?
No, right. It's got a sweetness to it. It's not about getting hammered. It's about hiding the... when you can taste it. Oh, God, that thing's got a lot of alcohol in it.
No, yeah.
You can hide it with some other flavors, make it mellow. And it does have a sweetness to it. But you have to hide it with some spices or whatever else.
I mean, I can taste the booze in this beer, which is still that barrel aged beer.
The dark strong.
Yeah.
Well, because it's got
from
it's,
the wine mostly, I think.
Well, it's got no carbonation to speak of in it. So
right.
It just kind of it can lay there, and you don't have the carbonation to move it along.
Yeah, these were hand bottled.
I read on there it's not supposed to have a lot of carbonation.
Oh, really? Oh, great.
Beer. So this is exactly what it should be.
All right. Well, let's take a break, mainly because I'm seeing double already because I'm a big pussy and I haven't eaten a whole lot.
But you're so big.
A bunch of other stuff.
I'm pretty sure Taryn is making cheese bread.
Really?
They call that pizza, the side of the Mississippi.
It's a bowl of bread filled with cheese and jalapenos.
Wow.
I'm going to do some damage to that.
You know, you're not eating for two anymore, Bevo. Whatever. You can back off on that.
She's I'm going two, to though, the gym she? At 6.
Yeah?
What'd you do there?
What does that mean? 2000?
I joined CrossFit.
I joined CrossFit? Totally.
Isn't that like a Honda?
Yes.
Model of
is that
Honda?
A hipster thing?
No, it is a hipster thing.
Because it's like $500 a month, and
it's
you can only go
a month.
Like 2 days a week, right?
It's $100 a month.
That's a lot, though.
$100 a month.
It's $89 a month, and I can go unlimited.
Yeah,
$89 for a gym?
That's three times what 24-hour would cost. Like, what's the benefit?
Yeah. What is wrong with you?
It's real hard, and I'm fat.
It's all about saying you're doing it, isn't it? I thought...
Well, I got a good deal because I have a gym membership already, so it was only $50 a month.
What's your goal?
What is your goal? To waste a lot of money?
To be able to bench press Tasty.
To have Flabbergale and not be able to go to college?
You wouldn't want to. It'd be amazing if you could do that.
All right, let's take a break so JP can empty his bladder. And
can we turn the air conditioner on? I'm sweating.
I just opened the window.
We're going to open the window. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Stick with us for a little bit. We're going to come back. We're going to do some beer news. We're going to taste Scott's extract beer that he did with Doc. And basically just fuck around.
Brewcasters. On the Brewing Network.
See, I already missed my heart out. I'm an asshole.
Have you ever dreamed about attending the World Brewing Academy? This year, thanks to Lalamond and Danstar, one lucky brewer will make that dream a reality for free. Lalamond and Danstar invite you to enter the Beer School 2012 contest. One lucky grand prize winner will receive fully paid tuition in the 2012 World Brewing Academy web-based concise course in brewing technology worth more than $3,000. From now until April 12, 2012, every Danstar yeast package you use is your ticket to enter. Visit danstaryeast.com for the details and to print your official entry form. There's no limit on the number of times you can enter, so get brewing with Danstar and get your entries in to the Danstar 2012 Beer School Contest. Whether you want to build your home brewing skills or build a career as a professional brewer, this course will change the way you think of beer and brewing. Enter at danstaryeast.com and get the dry yeast advantage with Danstar and Lalamond Premium Brewing Yeast and enter to win. By popular vote from the Northwest Brewing News, HopTech has been voted the best homebrew shop in Northern California. Yeah!
Serving home brewers for nearly 30 years in Dublin, California, HopTech carries more than 40 different kinds of hops and more than 60 different grains. Malt extract, spices and sugars, hop oils and extracts. Open every day except Wednesday or shop online anytime at hoptech.com or call 1-800-DRY-HOPS, 1-800-379-4677. With in-store classes almost every Saturday, huge selection, and a dedicated commitment to their customers, HopTech is one of the longest-running and passionate homebrew stores, period. And now, by popular vote, the best homebrew shop in Northern California. And don't forget their 15% military discount. HopTech. Visit today at hoptech.com.
When you hear Blickman Engineering, think innovation, passion, quality, and customer service. Blickman Gear is designed by brewers to give you a sense of pride in your equipment. At Blickman, they know what makes brewing a pain and build gear that makes it fun. Like the intuitive beer gun, a completely different approach to filling bottles. The Therminator wort chiller, a new take on a plate chiller that's sized for flow, performance, and the high groundwater temps homebrewers face every day. The Brewmometer, a brilliant weldless thermometer design with brewing parameters right on the dial. The Auto Sparge, ultimate simplicity for preventing an overflow or running your mash tun dry. And much more, like the modular top-tier brewing stand, conical fermenters, and their Boilermaker brew pots. With more cutting-edge equipment coming soon, keep up with the latest from Blickman at BlickmanEngineering.com and stay on the cutting edge.
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contracts, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates, get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
Mix me your 100 grain amber recipe and I'm going to eat it. And then it can ferment in my gut.
It totally works. The beer is almost identical to the grain sandwich.
Your colon won't know what hit it.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
BEER.
This is The Session.
All right, welcome back to The Session. We were out there eating some cheese bread. A bunch of nonsense. It's real good. My throat's on fire.
Oh. My colon's going to be on fire pretty soon.
Wow.
Ew.
I'd love to see that some days.
Hey, fire in the hole, baby.
I'm still eating cheese bread.
Yeah, you are. Well, you're eating for two.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're. That's right.
I'm just fat.
That's weird that you reminded me.
Hey, give her a couple months. She'll be eating for two again.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, you guys can have another one?
Come come on. You guys are at that double shoot thing. Poop, poop.
No.
As interesting as it is to hear from Bevo with a mouthful of cheese bread.
Sorry.
We got some beer news. What do you guys think?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Well, actually, I should do a live read. I haven't done one of those yet.
All right.
Fellas.
What are we pointing at here?
I don't know. I think Doc wants more beer.
He wants that dark strong.
He can't use his words, though.
Well, because there's nothing labeled here. I can't say, give me the brown bottle with the, beer in it.
With the beer in it, yeah.
Speaking of brown bottles, are you looking to spice things up? Is that what we're doing?
speaking of things that are brown and hard. Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom?
Yep.
Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie?
Or spicy bread?
Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. take jalapeno peppers and rub them on his urethra. No, go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select one, when you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration, plus a free extra gift so sensual we can't mention it on the Brewing Network. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. So check out adamandeve.com today for their special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type in a BN Army, that's a BNARMY, for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Again, just use the offer code BNARMY at adamandeve.com.
That's a good deal. Half off.
Free shipping, off, man. Yeah,
I could order like pocket rockets for all my for all
your
friends.
You know what you should do? Because you do. You know, now that your male entourage has left, you have female entourage, right? Don't you roll with some broads?
Exactly.
They're good looking.
Are they?
Doc and I went and met them for a beer after the show last week.
That's good. Yeah,
some cute chicks.
Nice
man.
Work.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Old enough to be daughters.
Oh yeah, way old enough.
Yeah.
They're old enough to be your daughters.
Oh, even granddaughters.
Wow. It could be granddaughters.
Wow. Yes, actually, yes.
I need to break up with my girlfriend and hang
There's
out
with nothing going on. It's just, why not?
No, that's too bad. Well, they do have these like pocket rockets or whatever that are remote controlled.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. You should hook them up, and then so you can go off and have them get you a beer.
Give
and
me the remote control.
Shock them a little bit. You know, give them a little what for.
It's called pleasure.
Yeah, there's nothing going on. Adam and Eve might change
that. That's the kind of game I play. Okay, good. I'll make a note.
And you got 2 different controllers?
Oh, you have the like 10. Wire him up to like an old Atari controller,
oh my
or whatever.
Joystick.
What do you imagine?
True meaning of joystick,
right?
No, it's asteroids.
Are they really called pocket rockets?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you want one?
No, thank you.
I got one in the car.
Would it be weird?
Asteroids.
Oh yes, you do. If don't say you do.
If Tasty bought gifts for these girls in his entourage, like, would it be weird?
I have gifts. It's a rule. I have a gift to give away.
Yeah, but
yeah, cookies.
Right.
Right.
Usually it's a dozen cookies.
Right.
But.
It's payment.
No, as a gesture.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing else.
But that'd be good for like a you know, some battery operated maybe. Would
Absolutely.
That be would that be crossing the
That's
line
what I'm
in
asking.
Your entourage?
Yeah, it would that be inappropriate?
It would be. But what do I got to lose?
Yeah,
right. What do you care?
I can die any day now.
So yeah, you're old enough.
Exactly.
I live down the consequences.
I won't feel guilty for a long time.
I won't feel guilty for a long time.
If he got sent to prison, how long would that last?
Right.
Anyway, adamandeve.com. What's that code again?
BN Army.
Okay.
Thanks for getting us back on track. I appreciate it. I need it every once in a while.
It's called the segue.
You guys want to do some beer news?
Whatever. Was it as good as feedback?
Is it as good as feedback? I don't know. Let's find out. Let's play the intro. Extreme quiet in the studio, please.
From the International News Center in Pacheco, California, here's what's on tap in the world of beer.
Wisconsin lawmakers have passed a closely watched bill that makes crucial changes to how homebrewers share their beer. Both houses have passed the bill just a couple days ago. Now it's going to head to Governor Scott Walker's desk. The bill allows brewers to make and share their beer and wine outside the home. Current state law prohibits homebrewers from transporting any beer or wine they make, and that technically makes tasting events and competitions illegal, a fact that makes things complicated for event organizers. So the bill would also exempt homebrewers from permit requirements and taxes. They're limited in how much they can brew every year, but this is a very good thing.
You know how they have, every once in a while, you read in the weird news, or there's a couple books written about, like, stupid, outdated laws that no one, you know, listens to anymore? Like it's illegal to park your giraffe.
Yeah, you can't have
New
an
York
alligator
City.
On the bus on every other Thursday. And,
right.
Yes.
Has anybody ever been busted by, like, oh, I'm sorry, sir, but that's homebrew? Well, you are approximately 4 steps from your house, so we're going to have to bust you. Like, why are we wasting, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but why are we wasting our time trying to change laws that nobody's even getting railed up
for?
Well,
the point is organized competition. I get what you're saying, JP.
Right? You know what I mean? I'm also drunk.
It's
so.
Mainly about organized competitions.
Or having your homebrew meeting somewhere and everybody brings their homebrew. But funny thing, on the way over here, I was bringing that keg over and I'm driving up the 680 going, what have I got pulled over? Should I lie? No, I can do this here.
Yeah, you're allowed.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's homebrew.
But like, I mean, has any that hasn't stopped any competitions before. It's kind of like the don't ask, don't tell.
I think Oregon started. They started hammering down on them. And then from then on, it was just like the cascade thing. Oh, everybody else is now doing, oh, you can't do that.
I just don't get it.
At some point, a club, whoever's putting the competition on, has got to ask, should we be doing this? Are we personally liable for holding an illegal an event?
You know, I seem to remember when this whole hubbaloo started. It was like it was the places where the competitions were being held were wondering if it was legal. I think that's...
Should we rent our place to these guys?
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, okay. Well, but, that I could see.
And ideally,
anyway, it's just much better with the law. I hope the governor's going to sign it, as far as we know.
There's no reason he wouldn't.
Nobody's saying he's not going to.
Republican
sign
guy,
it.
I'm sure he right. would.
He had a bipartisan support, obviously.
Yeah. So, yeah.
When they said that, yes, it's legal to homebrew your own stuff in your own house and get hammered in your own house, but we can't take it to other places to make my friends hammered too.
Emma, how?
And, yeah, but M-E-A now, but now it's about competition, and now it's about sharing and having homebrew clubs and everything else somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm behind it then. It's a good thing, right? Is it a good thing?
Well, it just needs to be uniform.
Then yes, if it's a good thing, then I'm behind.
And
it.
It's just get rid of the stupid laws, like about the kangaroos and the alligators.
I want to park my giraffe. Where the fuck I want to park my giraffe?
Yeah, right. Yeah. On Thursday.
Yeah.
The man has no say in where my giraffe gets parked.
That's true. Got T-Bone and little T-Bone over here. Hi, everybody.
Hi. You'd hardly tell the difference between the two.
Jackson loves me, by the way. In case anybody is he's staring at me.
JP
right now.
Bonded with Jackson,
and
he's under 13.
If you want to take a seat, you can, man. You got the kid. He's gonna be cool. If he wants to hang out with Uncle JP, he can right now.
Yeah,
but
he likes you, JP, which means his radar's bad.
That's true.
You know, he might get into some bad relationships as an adult.
Yeah, tell me about it. Well, I've talked to you about it off the air.
What does that mean?
I'm just kidding. Anyway, all right, Scotty, what's next?
As gas prices continue to rise at the pump, one gas retailer has found a way for consumers to look forward to filling up. Sunoco. They have a craft beer exchange program, and it's been a hit with customers since it began as a pilot program in 12 locations.
Sunoco.
Back in July last year. Yeah, it's in Western New York.
Is that the gas station?
Yes.
Oh, because yeah, it sounds like a Four Loko replacement.
No, it's a chain. Yeah, right. Sunoco. You never seen Sunoco?
Western New York. Buffalo-ish.
Yeah. Right. They need all the perks to life they can get.
Right. Yeah. They know.
All right. What is it?
So the Craft Beer Exchange Program allows customers to fill growlers with beer at the same place they fill up their gas tank. Currently, Sunoco has beer filling stations, which are just taps and kegerators, at over 40 of its A-plus convenience stores throughout New York State. They operate more than 600 such stores in 24 states as far west as Ohio. So if this program catches on, I mean, you could start seeing it in lots of places. It seems like a weird combination
to me. I thought you were going
to
tell me
get some beer and go drive.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I thought you were going to say we bring beer in and we could trade beer for gas.
See, that's what I was thinking. That'd be rad.
That would be good.
You know what I think would be cool, Terrence? This is for you. Do it at church.
Ah.
After the service, Sunday service.
God and Growlers.
Growlers to go.
Oh. It's our God and Growlers fundraiser every month.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
So can you turn beer to gas? Yeah.
Yes, he does it
personally?
Every night.
Yeah.
Body of Christ.
Yeah, we need that.
No. Not going to happen, huh?
Not happen.
Terrence isn't big with performing miracles.
Oh.
except for the miracle of life.
He's holding the miracle.
I did that too.
Yeah, but yours is awesome.
Why are you so mean to my baby?
Because your baby is like a... It's like a raccoon where it just gets distracted by anything light and bright and shiny. It's just like, I want this thing. I don't know.
Hey, just like her husband.
Well, that's true, I guess. Apples and trees and whatnot.
Well, we couldn't do that in acorns. California, that growler fill thing, could we?
I don't think so.
Isn't there a law now?
It's got to be in there. It's got to be logoed by the brewery.
It has to be the specific brewery.
And
they won't let you fill growlers?
No. So I can't bring a lady face
Russian
growler.
River in a lady face.
Yeah, to like ale industries.
That's a California only thing? What's the reason?
I don't know about
that.
The way it is in California.
Probably because they have to sell the growler and they pay taxes on the growler.
Yeah.
And they know how much is going in and out.
I think it's what bothers me about the bottle recycling kind of thing. Like in Europe, you can bring your bottles back. You bring your bottles back, or even in Mexico with Coke and Pepsi and all that kind of nonsense. You bring your soda bottles back to the plant or to where you buy the thing, mm-hmm. and then you exchange. They recycle the glass. Mm-hmm. So the glass is a little thicker, right? Yes. But over here, we don't, and we're all concerned and all pissed off about recycling programs and this, that, and the other. Just let breweries take their glass back, and they can wash them and put it through the yeah. bottler again. It's not a big deal.
The glass we have here is taxed, and you pay X amount on it. It's real thin. You probably shouldn't refill it.
Yeah.
In Europe, it's really thick glass, and the Trappist brewers, they don't care who gets whose. They know who they know it's the Trappist kind of bottle.
Yeah.
And they just run it back through again.
And that's why when you get like Mexican Coke bottles, you know, they have the wear marks around the neck.
Right.
Yeah.
They're just rubbing on against each other. Anyway, what's next there, Skate?
New York State, another New York story. It's seeing a renaissance of hop farming to satisfy growing demand for locally grown ingredients. It's a big trend now, by local. Hop farming was highly profitable in New York in the 19th century. About 90% of all American hops came from central New York back then. But business collapsed as a result of outbreaks of blue mold and aphids, and then, of course, prohibition. The industry relocated to the Pacific Northwest, where the climate kept plants more resilient to disease outbreaks. But about 10 years ago, a handful of central New York growers got together with Cornell University and formed the Northeast Hop Alliance to foster a rebirth of the industry. And this spring, the organization got a grant from the Department of Agriculture, and they're going to expand production. And now, New York State back in the hop business.
That's crazy, man. We used to do a lot in this area too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Northern
California, yeah,
hopland stuff. Yeah, you can go out there. You can see the ruins of the big barns and stuff out there that they used to like dry the hops.
Even in Pleasanton,
yeah,
you know, 30 miles away or whatever.
So now they're breeding for hop for mold resistance, so they may have success having their program.
Oh.
Yeah, nice.
So they're going to be doing Cascade and all the other stuff.
The article didn't specify what kind of strains. I wonder if they're going to develop strains that are more specifically going to grow in New York better than here, right?
Like new develop or otherwise, that's what they'll eventually grow is what works best.
Like New Cascade or...
New York, New Cascade.
New Amarillo.
All right, a couple more.
Good luck to them.
Gizmodo has come up with a recipe for do-it-yourself Four Loko. You ready? They call it Faux Loko, F-A-U-X.
I got to hear that.
Oh, okay, man.
It's 20 ounces of malt liquor.
Hey, hold on. Let me get my pen.
20 ounces of malt liquor, minimum 6% ABV, 4 ounces of 80-proof vodka, 1 Barocca tablet.
Barocca?
Am I an idiot for not knowing what that is?
No, I'll look it up, though.
B-E-R-O-C-C-A. You can figure out what that is. Also, 3 tablespoons of Kool-Aid mix. 1 tablespoon of table sugar.
Preferably grape flavor.
What color?
What color would that produce?
I don't know what color grape.
Is Doc's mic off?
Kool-Aid.
Is Doc's
mic
off?
You want that blue shit's what you want.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Yes. Doc's mic was off.
Blueberry.
What color of Kool-Aid mix?
Purple.
Yeah, purple drink.
Purple.
Excellent.
Barocca is a tablet containing a combination of vitamin B group vitamins and vitamin C. So it's just a vitamin tablet.
So it's for like the taurine and guarana kind of
no,
stuff?
No, I think it's because I think, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, because you're going to need it tomorrow.
So what you do is you put the Barocca tablet into a large jar. You add 4 ounces of 80-proof vodka. Oh, allow it to dissolve.
They're effervescent. That's also why,
too. Oh, it's like a fizzy, as I used to.
Yeah.
I put it in the keg, I'll get it effervescent.
So this is the carbonating mechanism, I see.
Yeah.
You slowly add 20 ounces of 6% ABV malt liquor. You add the 3 tablespoons of the Kool-Aid mix. I guess whatever color you want. It's just whatever Faux Loko do you want.
You could do the blueberry.
I like the blue stuff.
Me too.
Yeah. And then you add the sugar, and then you stir, then you get crunk.
I love it. I love it.
Now, I have another. I was thinking of another recipe. Just like 4 packs of Kool-Aid, you know, a bunch of Everclear. You know, water to taste.
A bunch. And these are exact measurements.
And then
right?
Carbonate it. I mean, come on. Let's get going.
Well, but you need the energy too. No, so maybe throw a couple 5-hour energy shots in there.
There you go. Some caffeine.
Those little bottles of 5-hour stuff.
Yeah.
And don't forget the vitamins. Right.
Sounds
feel
like
good.
We're going to have our own Four Loko.
Yes.
We'll put all our heads together. Obviously, we have some great ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just make
our
own.
Dude, I'm pretty sure if we made our own, we could probably get Sam to drink them.
Oh, for sure.
Well, he'll be our test guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody pick a color.
Blind, we go, okay, that is not working.
Everybody pick a color.
Do you have
I got blue.
I have a question for you, Biba. Do you have a life insurance policy out on that asshole? Really?
Oh, yeah.
For how much? What if he kicks? What if he kicks right now? If he's, like, choking right now?
$50,000.
That's it?
Wow.
That's all he's worth?
Wait a minute. That was all I signed up without him
knowing about it. Yeah, okay.
So that was all.
I'm with you there.
That was all Affleck would let me.
I'm with you there.
Let me sign up for without his
signature.
They'll let you buy more. I tell you what, I'll pay the premium.
Yeah, if he goes in and signs it with me, I could get more.
Tasty will buy the pay.
If I could be a co-beneficiary,
I have like a couple hundred thousand.
Actually, if you burn him. You get get more.
Yeah, double.
Like, if he dies in a fire.
If you burn him? What does that mean?
Cremate him.
We'll stage an accident. It'd be double.
Sammy, come in.
There he is right there. Jesus.
Did they send like a risk assessment guy to interview Sam to get an idea of how much?
No, I answered it. No. I filled it out.
Did you lie?
What?
No. Nope.
Get on that mic there, Sammy. Did you know that your wife has an insurance policy out on your life?
Yeah.
That you didn't have to sign? Does that bother you?
He's
that you
didn't have to do anything?
We all are, honey. We're better off alive than dead. I always watch behind me. I never let her stand behind me.
Sleep with one eye open.
That's because
of the strap on.
Unrelated. You got that from Adam and Eve.
Tell us more, Bebo.
Oh, man. There's two babies in the room, and I'm not talking about Sam.
Oh.
No.
I don't understand.
I don't know either.
I think that was bad.
You know what?
Was that any more news?
Yeah, we got one more.
I need more news.
No more for Bebo, by the way. Bebo's cut off. She's calling in for Stupid of the Week today. Just kidding. Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
Starbucks is expanding its experiment with wine and beer. Starbucks is like a coffee store. You guys heard of it?
Wait.
It's like a boutique place, right?
Did they start in like Seattle or something?
No, that doesn't sound right to me. But anyway, they do coffee. No. But now they're...
Really? Coffee's big?
Yeah. People like it. It's when they can't get Four Loko and they need a little jolt.
In the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it anytime?
Anytime. Yeah.
Can I get a scone there?
I don't know what that is. Scone? Okay. Yeah, they're experimenting with it with wine and beer, Starbucks is. They've announced that they'll start selling wine and beer at stores in Atlanta and Chicago and in Southern California by the end of this year. They first tested wine and beer concept at a store at the headquarters in Seattle back in October 2010. It now serves beer and wine at 5 stores in Seattle and 1 in Portland. And the lists will vary by region, but they're going to start being able to get booze at Starbucks.
Okay, that's after, 5 o'clock or something? Because Becca and I were arguing about this. Are they actually going to brew their own beer there?
No, not in store, but
are they going to have their own
wine? As far as I know, no Starbucks brand. They're just going to have Rogue or Stone or just popular craft beers. And yes, you're right. They're not available until the afternoon, it says. It doesn't specify a time. But yeah, you can't get it in the morning, I guess.
Any Starbucks?
Oh, depending on how successful the program is, I suppose.
Prototypes.
Expand,
yeah.
Holler.
Yeah, the stores in Washington State and Oregon serve Dead Guy Ale and Stella Artois.
Can you get a shot in that?
Stella Artois?
That'd be great.
Just like an espresso
shot? A pint of Dead Guy and an espresso?
Sure, why not?
Dump right in there, man.
I'm not sure about this. I mean...
What do you think?
Well, to me, bars are a little more about the clientele, the atmosphere, the vibe.
Yeah.
What's it going to be like at Starbucks?
It could be very different. I mean, obviously, it's going to be very different. That's a stupid thing to say, but it could be very interesting. As far as, I mean, the coffee shop atmosphere, you go and you hang out and you have a couple, have a couple espressos or a cup of coffee and do some work.
But there'll be this mix of people that are like all wired and like straight, and these other people are like, oh, man, I'm
trying
so
to get some work done here on my laptop.
Yeah, you guys are talking about all this weird shit.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. I'm a big fan of Starbucks. I really enjoy Starbucks. Anyone who needs money should go work at Starbucks because Starbucks is awesome.
Have you worked there?
I've worked there a little bit, maybe. Mm-hmm. Another great to their employees. They have some ideas that suck, but I don't know. The beer thing is interesting to me. I don't know if it'll work. It's got to work. I mean, they're test marketing in Atlanta.
So they get a little money to test market with, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, where at in Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Hotland. I have no idea.
Hotland.
Black part.
You want address?
No, that was what I want to clarify.
The non-Jewish part.
No. Is that it for beer news, Scott?
That's the news.
All right, I like it. Let's taste your beer, dude. Let's actually talk about your beer. Would you mind giving me some? So this is the beer. Refresh my memory, Doc. This is the beer that you guys brewed extract, right?
Yeah, we did extract. We pushed it some partial mash, real easy partial mash. We did a lot of different experiments. After last week's show, Moscow and Phil came back to my house with me. And I filled up a corny.
Sounds sexy already.
Yeah, well, I filled up a corny and sent it home with. I wanted them to ferment their own. And then I took the rest and put it in the conical.
Okay.
And then we tried a lot of different things.
before I sent them on their way. But
in theory, we did.
Yeah, and then back, was it Thursday or Friday you sent me this picture?
That was yesterday, actually.
Yesterday? He sent me this picture yesterday, and he says, is this supposed to do this? And he shows me this picture of the conical, and it's a lot of foam, a lot of croizen, and it's dark. It's like almost black, and I'm like, no.
Well, okay. I didn't ask. Really know. Like, oh, I'm not sure if this is. I just obviously knew it was a problem.
It was more of a panic kind of. Is this supposed to look like this? No. Yeah. So I hadn't checked the conical or pulled a sample off or anything.
Why was it black though? It's the colors, right?
I have no idea.
You can't even venture a guess as to what might have happened.
I'm not even.
My guess, right? Is you took a shitty picture.
No.
You took a shitty picture with your shitty picture phone.
That's true, it was in point of fact black.
But I'm going with that too. There's a lot of croizen on there though. There was a good 4 inches, 5 inches of croizen.
Yeah, it looks nasty.
I can't wait to drink it.
But I told him don't throw it away. Just let it go out. We'll treat it like it was our firstborn, and we'll make it see what it is. If nothing else, it's going to be a good teaching kind of thing.
Yeah, you won't be able to. Know
so I pulled about 2 gallons off this morning out of the conical. It was about 10:08. We started about 10:46, I think.
Yeah.
It's about 10:08, 10:07-ish. And I filtered it and carved it up, and that's what we're drinking right now.
So this is a week from fermenter to glass.
1 week.
It's crazy that it can be this good after just 7 days.
It's a little sharp. It's got some it's got a lot of sulfur to it. But
is that the metally taste?
Yeah,
It's also the fart smell.
No, but yeah, you're getting.
I don't taste the sulfur too much, but I taste a little. Like,
you don't smell like fart.
Well,
with a Kolsch, I mean, you smell like fart.
A Kolsch really will be so much better to lay down for about 4, 5, 6 weeks. Really cold, like that's a lager.
Still really good.
Is that when it's going to start getting the fruit characteristics?
Yeah. That sharpness will go away. You can even smell it, kind of like that. Smells like butt. Yeah, and it's
across my legs.
That's it kind of smells like feet. It's got that sulfur character to it.
Better put your shoes on, too.
And that mostly pulls from the yeast. If you ever brewed a lager, especially for the first time, most people think, "Oh my god."
When would you do a de-rest in a lager?
Usually,
don't worry about it.
There's two ways to do it. Okay. There's either you raise it up from 50-ish up to 60-ish, or you just let it sit longer in the fermenter primary, and it'll do its own de-rest. It just takes a little bit longer. But with this one, I actually this one was fermenting at 62. I raised it up to about 66 or 67 for about 3 days.
Because why?
Because I wanted to do diastole rest. You just taste any diastole in there? There's none. And
the warmer you do it, the faster it goes.
Yeah, so
that's why
I
cold.
I knew it was fermenting really quick. So we rolled through with that, but I figured it'd be worth just talking about it tonight, 1 week away.
It tastes pretty good. Yeah. I mean, considering that you guys missed your gravity by like 10 points.
I know. And then we bolted it back up, and we...
Yeah.
It's about rescuing the brew. I'm not going to give up on something.
Well, and I think with a Kolsch, I mean, you're talking, what, 80% maybe of the Kolsch characteristic is the yeast.
Yes. And it's such a light beer, and it's got such little finesse flavors all through it. And right now, it's very raw, but it's very drinkable.
When do you think it's going to hit its peak?
I bet about a month.
Yeah?
About 1 month. I'll put the other kegs in really cold, maybe 34 degrees-ish, and just let them sit.
Okay.
And then I'll pull them off of that. At that point, I probably won't even need to filter them. This one I filtered because it was a little bit rough. And I just,
oh, you did filter this? Okay, that's why it's so clear. Okay.
This isn't even that clear. So this, I just did a rough filter on this one, and otherwise we'd be just it would all be almost just really hot bite kind of that sharp bitter dead yeast flavor to it.
Yeah, because it's still all in suspension.
Yeah,
right?
And I was tasting it like I usually do when I'm taking the gravity reading out of the hydrometer,
And it's got that kind of bitey flavor to it, so I like to get some of that out of there.
Yeah, time will mellow that out.
Like, it will.
I mean, just a week. I mean, you mentioned 4 weeks of cold.
We shouldn't be drinking this right now.
Yeah, no. This is sort of a fun thing to do, I think, to get beer out that early.
Yeah, we shouldn't drink it, but we could.
But we'll if you can. Say, for instance, you needed a bunch of beer in a week, this is what you could do.
You know, your friends at the wedding would just love this beer.
Yeah, they'd think they'd get drunk.
And it would not be, they would just roll right through the
taste. It's been one of the best beers they've ever had.
If you fortified this with some Everclear, you got a party.
We're talking.
That's a party.
And some Kool-Aid mix.
That'll be our second project.
This beer will be so much better in about a month.
But here's a question from the chat from Burgermeister about a Kolsch, which is strangely on topic for the chat. I brewed a Kolsch about a month or so ago. I have it in the secondary that's lagering. And when I opened the fridge a couple days ago, it was frozen with 8 exclamation points. Is it fucked?
Nah.
P.S. Frozen. Kolsch was extract. Not that it matters, I guess, but it froze on him.
Nah,
he had his probe outside the
probably
freezer, right?
Yeah.
No, just nah. It's not worth throwing.
What
out.
Should he do?
No, it's fine, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's not going to hurt it, right?
No.
All right. So he should just pull it out, or what should he do to unfreeze it?
It's been a month.
Let it sit out.
I guess
it's been a month. Put it back in the regular kegerator where it's going to be at 45.
Yeah, it'll
and then. Yeah, drink it.
That's it.
Right. It might not be all you want it to be, but or you can make an ice beer.
Well, you can go with the flow. Yeah,
make that's true. Fun. Can you pull the ice out?
No.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
It's probably not frozen solid, I hope.
You'll probably have to. If it's frozen, you need to take remove the dip tube and get all the ice out of it. Insert it back in there and push it off.
I mean, it's in a secondary that's lagering. I assume it's in a keg.
Don't assume.
That's I would true. Let it sit out for like 3 days and let it all melt and get back to beer. And then just, put it back in the cold storage.
Or just put it in your kegerator at 45 and let it sit.
It won't take longer to do.
It'll be at least
just
a week.
Just make sure there's no ice
A week
in there.
At least. And, shake it. And if there's no, that sloshy, icy kind of thing. Yeah, you don't want to do that because it will change the flavor at that point. Let it get all back to liquid.
So probably let it sit at room temp. Probably put a towel underneath so all the condensation won't, ruin your carpet or nothing.
That's
like
that. I would just set it out.
In the
garage room. For a couple of days. Let all that sweating happen.
But let there be no ice left in it.
Let there be no ices.
It's
the 11th commandment, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, they were in the desert for a while.
Well, it was a Kolsch. Could have been any frozen beer, but it was on topic.
Wasn't it your people, Scott?
So if you want to let it get just slushy and then take some of the, if it's in a keg, transfer it to another keg while it's still slushy, and then you've got some malt liquor.
So basically, what you have done here is you've turned a beer out in 2 weeks.
1 week.
So we brewed it last
Sunday.
Last Sunday it was still warm. Doc was chilling it as he was on the show, I think.
That's right. So 7 days you went from pitching yeast to pitching it in your mouth.
I went home and pitched the yeast.
That's insane to me. That's insane.
Well, it hasn't been 7 days yet.
I pitched not even 7 days ago.
So, but it would still be ready. It'd still be better in a month. Is there any style that you could do in a week? I know, Tasty, you've messed around with turning out beers.
A wheat.
Like a Hef, right?
Yeah, a wheat beer. Well, American wheat, but it could do with a Hef as well.
I'm brewing a Hef tomorrow morning for the Nationals.
Do all?
Or does I have to mail in a week? So...
You're going for it.
I'm going for it.
You're going for it.
Do all Kolsches ferment this fast, or was there something about this particular one?
You saw the size of the yeast starter I had?
Yes. 3 gallons, right?
Yes. It was
adequate. And your gravity was lower than you expected, right?
Right.
So you had two things going there.
Yeah, but I was amazed at the... I really wanted to finish out low. And it finished out at 10.07, and which is great. For an extract beer, that's amazing. So I think everything we did, we mashed low, we put the grains back in with the extract. I wanted it to not be a 10-13 beer, and it was actually lower than I thought it would be. I was expecting a 10-10, 10-09, and it was a little lower than that. So that's why it's pretty drinkable right now.
You guys want to hear my new favorite song?
Of course we do.
So
segue right into that.
As you know, well, I assumed we're done talking about this. So, every time I host the session, the third time, and I like to kind of, introduce you to new songs. A few years ago, it was Donnie Dumphy. Last time I hosted, I think it was Heart to Heart with Facebook Official. I'm sure you all remember that hit song. Do you guys remember that?
No.
Are you kidding? I haven't stopped listening since then.
Can you do it for me again?
Oh,
please.
Doc, I was hoping you were going to say that.
I you know, I'm old. My memory's short.
Here it is.
Heart to Heart.
Scott
I remember.
Oh.
They're tough. Tough kids. That's the bad boy right there.
Because they all got one of them, right? The cute one, the bad one.
Right?
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, girl.
It's me, Chad.
It's Chad right there.
I never felt this way before.
Is that what Chad used to look like?
I want to make this official.
And then he started brewing. Then he got real fat.
In the realest way I know. You know what? Let me tell you how I feel.
Just tell me, dude. Love on.
Let me tell you an interpretive dance.
Yeah. Which I don't know when that became the manly thing to do. Is you know what I'm gonna do? I have so much emotion for you. Let me dance. Well, wait, when did that happen?
The only time they really feel alive is when they're dancing.
That's true. Well, anyway, this is Heart to Heart, Facebook Official. Bevo, you don't know about this?
Put a
I think
big
I have their CDs.
Put a big screen for her.
Can you put a heart on your page?
Can you click it up big screen for
me? I don't know. It might freak out.
Double click on the screen.
There we go.
There you go.
This is real.
It's good, right?
Ridiculous.
It's good. I don't want to play Farmville, Bevo. I just want to play for real. That's an actual line from this fucking song. So anyway,
where did you find this crap?
I know some things about some stuff.
I want to know the girls that like this music.
Three in the morning when you're just like pretty, cruising, stuff comes.
She's
up.
Ready for it.
She's ready.
Wow. So this is my
excited. Yeah, let's do this.
This is my new favorite song by a new artist. I think you all know her. Her name is Paris Hilton.
Oh. About the other night.
Phone's ringing, Diva.
Dirty talk.
Dance with my bitches.
The dance with her bitches.
I always see the big screen.
That guy was there again. He's like, I'm sorry for what I said last week.
She's just doing the Willie Nelson thing where she just talks the lyrics.
Right.
I told him I didn't mind, which was a lie. But I was equally sorry. And I didn't want to apologize.
Jesus, they sorry.
This is awful.
Text.
Isn't it?
It's not the Paris Hilton I know.
This is called Drunk Text, by the way.
In my head, I was writing a fiction of us.
She's just talking.
Behind my eyes.
She's rapping.
Do you even think she knew she was recording a song?
Possibly she didn't.
Someone just gave her a script and said, hey, read this.
I hate her so much.
Why?
She's thin and blonde.
She's an idiot.
Oh.
After the club.
Well, somebody talked her into this, so I guess so.
Oh my god, a shot of vodka.
And I say,
raspberry vodka.
And she's like 30. Like, grow the hell up.
Sure.
Right.
And you're not even hot.
That's my point. This is her life right now. This is like, she, you know.
I hope she gets AIDS.
They tell you, or you know, or it starts showing.
I hate to break the news to people, but she'll be able to afford the retroviral drugs.
Whatever.
She'll be fine.
That the government already has. Right, because they already manufactured it. This is her life. It's like
syphilis.
She again.
That might be.
This is all she does.
Can't get stupider though.
Later on, if somebody talked to her and said, "Hey, we could make a lot of money off of this." I mean, you already have a lot of money. I could make a lot of money.
Vogue gone terribly wrong.
Listen to the lyrics.
It was just a drug test.
I don't want.
This is her. This is her life right now. It's that all she does. She goes to the club with her bitches.
Is this an album? Like, is she making an album?
Yeah, this is her. This is her sing. It was leaked. If you'll excuse the turn of the phrase, leaked to the internet, which I'm sure the internet, if it could, would give it back and say, look, sorry. Someone dropped this on you. This is her talking about drunk texting.
Oh, somebody needs to fuck her up.
You add drunk.
I think they already did.
No, with no, a gun. Up, Doc.
But she just described to us what drunk.
Pistol with her.
She just said, this is the definition.
Sex and mix it with texting.
Sexting.
Let me write that
when
down.
You add drunk sexting, the words just don't make any sense.
They don't make any sense when you add drunk when you had drunk sexting.
And she has to be auto-tuned to talk.
Really? Is she auto-tuned?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, it's hard for her.
Oh, it's so hard for her.
Hard for me.
I'm a pistol whipper.
Creeper.
I used to love Paris Hilton.
Can you give me clothes? Why? Just because you're blonde and not fat, that does not mean you're hot.
I know, but she was like skanky hot. And now she's just skanky?
Now she's just dirty.
No, look, she's hot, but she's stupid.
Yeah, like, but you know,
like, she has boobs and no hips.
But, you know, boobs, whatever, it's fine, right?
Oh, come on, are you afraid of cutting yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. What bothers me is that, like Bebo said, she's 30 years old, and she's doing a song about drunk texting in a club. Like, you know, they tell you in creative writing class to just write what you know about. What she knows about is going to the club to dance with her bitches.
Right.
And then drunk texting, that guy was there again.
Well,
but I didn't mind, but I kind of did.
Definitely knows how to work a video camera.
Right.
No, somebody wrote all this thing, and she goes, I did that. I could sing that.
I made it a song.
It's like Confessions of an Heiress or something. Like, she has a book, too.
Confessions of an Idiot.
Is that what it's called? Confessions of an Heiress?
Confessions of an Airhead.
Pistol Whip.
Let's do it. I got a pistol.
I'm going to be on like the FBI list. Somebody's listening to this and they're like, Beverly Moore.
I'm going to kill Paris Hilton.
No. It's higher up than that.
No.
They're going to go, spoof, in your next life, you're her.
Yeah.
That's your worst hell.
Look me up, Bebo, when you turned into her next time.
And think about it this way, Bebo. The payout you'd get if Sam buys it in the car tomorrow, it's Paris Hilton makes that in a week.
No, she doesn't even make that in a week. She makes it in an hour going to the club.
Yeah,
she gets paid
whatever.
To just go.
You know what?
It's horrible.
If I ever see her on the street,
I'm
going to win.
No, you're not. You're not even going to do anything.
I got like 60 whip. Pounds on her. Come on.
It's all boob.
I will hurt her.
This is one of the times that you should you shouldn't be under exaggerating.
I'm not.
No, shit. Can we take a break yet?
Yeah.
Is it break time?
I think so.
Yeah.
Right. You got music
and
for
then
us?
We need to take drunk of the week calls because
that's right. We need to take drunk of the week
apparently
calls.
We have somebody very very intoxicated who would like to.
Oh yeah, trust me. I got that message. Bevo is not. What did he say? Bevo isn't letting a golden DOTW calling in.
Well, now you can.
That's because it hasn't been announced that you're allowed to call in yet.
Is he drunk sexting? Let me make sure. What do I got going on? Bevo. I got.
We were doing that last week.
We have your announcements, right, Scott?
That's right.
Yeah, load them up during the break, and then we'll do.
Bitches.
I'm going to do it online. Site. I'm going to do it on the mic so everybody knows what I'm doing.
What are you doing?
Wow, you got a lot in here, man.
What the hell?
Fucking garbage out. 30412, right?
Is that the phone number for the show?
30412.
No, today's the 18th.
Yeah.
The 18th.
It's St. Paddy's Day plus one.
Right.
That's all I remember.
It's very helpful. Thank you.
Screwed everything up.
What are we doing here, Jip?
I'm trying to load my thing, man. I can't do it.
Keep it moving.
Oh, come on.
Hey, Doc, what was the OG on that close, by the way?
Yeah.
Finally, what was it?
See, Scott, I just want to point out how professional. Shut up for a second. How professional Tasty was because he saw that there was an issue going on, and he decided to kick it into gear instead of just making fun of me, Scott. So I just want to let you know that. I want to point that out to you. What do you think, Scott? Talking to you.
I'm listening to Tasty and Doc off the mic.
They don't even know they're off the mic.
I know,
right?
But their conversations.
This is what happens when you try to just having your own conversation aside from the host, who's actually trying to make some radio. And then you keep going on and on and on.
I thought making fun of you was pretty good radio.
Which part of the radio are you trying to make, Chet?
Are you back?
Who, me?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure some bullshit out right now.
You were trying to find Scott's clip or whatever.
I would. No, but I was trying to praise you.
I was trying to fill the air.
I was trying to fill no dead air. Like,
there it is. Okay.
Justin
here
hates.
I don't know what's going on.
No, I know. I appreciate that, but I was trying to praise both of you for it, and then you wouldn't let me praise you guys for it.
I'm sorry.
You just kept talking. Well, hold the fuck on for a second.
I thought you were trying to close us out.
Fuckers. No. I wasn't trying to close anybody out. This is a horrible.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
We'll be back. We should order pizza, Scott. And anyway, we'll come back. Drunk of the Week, call in 888-401-BEER. We're going to do a Twitter game, and we'll wrap up after this.
You're listening to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
A vial of White Labs yeast is the key to your best beer.
When you open a vial of White Labs yeast, you're giving your beer its best chance for a perfect fermentation. In addition to their already incredible variety of yeast, White Labs is proud to announce WLP 90, San Diego Super Yeast, now available year-round. WLP 90 is super clean, super fast fermenting, with low esters, and has a neutral flavor and aroma profile. It's alcohol tolerant and highly flocculent. For more of the latest White Labs news, click over to whitelabs.com, where you can read reviews of yeast, learn in the lab section, and join the customer club. And if you should find yourself in San Diego, White Labs has a brand new training facility for craft brewers and home brewers alike. whitelabs.com. Discover yeast, nutrients, enzymes, and more for commercial breweries, home brewers, and homebrew stores. White Labs. It's all in the vial. Did you know the Brewing Network's very own Code Right and Fool's son, Ryan Wolf, has opened a beer mecca in Missouri? The Wolf Brow House of Beer has hundreds of beers from all over the world and is conveniently close to I-70 in St. Peter's. Free tastings, Saturdays 4 to 6 p.m., featuring special guests from local breweries, the best build-your-own six-pack around with every style represented, and kegged craft beer available for your kegerator, too. There's always something new at the Wolf Brow House of Beer. New and hard to find beer every week. No two visits are the same. Just like passing out at the Rat Pad.
Hi, this is Ryan from Wolf Brow House of Beer. Mention the Brewing Network when you stop in for some cool free stuff. Mention JP for a swift kick in the ass.
The Wolf Brow House of Beer. Beer with personal service from a member of the BN Army.
This is Code. Visit my son's shop or I'll yank the f***ing BN website down.
www.wolfbrow.com. Here's a bite for beer lovers. Soft caramel made with real craft brew and coated in chocolate. And hop drops, hard candies made with real hop oil. Introducing Beer Candy from BeerCandy.com. Beer Candy's amazing caramels come in four mouthwatering flavors. IPA, bitter gold wrapped in smooth white chocolate. Lager, made with a familiar beer from Boston and coated in milk chocolate. Lambic, soury Belgian goodness full of fresh raspberry and dipped in dark chocolate. And stout, roasty cocoa chocolate insanity. Hop drops are made with Fuggles or Cascade hops and are known as the candy that bites you back. Choose from sampler and full sizes of both and make your mouth jump to life. All at beercandy.com. Hop drops and beer caramels satisfy your sweet tooth as only a beer lover could with Beer Candy. Visit beercandy.com today.
Hey, everybody. These are the Brewing Network's announcements. It's Sunday, March 4th. First up this week is a new brewery opening soon that's going to be very near and dear to the Brewcaster hearts. As everyone knows by now, Northern California is rich in brewing tradition and is home to some of the best breweries in the world. Hoping to add to this proud history, I'm pleased to announce that there will be an all-sour, all-barrel-aged Gypsy brewery launching in the San Francisco Bay Area named the Rare Barrel. What do they mean by Gypsy Brewery? Well, they plan to partner with the great breweries of the Bay Area for their brewing needs, and they'll be building their own barrel warehouse for fermentation, packaging, and serving of beers to the public. The team is made up of people committed to producing the highest quality sour beer, including Jay Goodwin, who's the former brewer and head of barrel aging at the brewery down in Orange County, Alex Walosh, who's a home brewer and a sales rep in biotechnology, and Brad Goodwin, entrepreneur in the pharmaceutical industry. They hope to release more details of their plan over the next few months, and they look forward to producing beer with experimental methods, with a singular focus on quality sours and a commitment to the craft beer community. If you're looking for more details, feel free to contact them at info@therarebarrel.com with any questions or comments. Visit their website, therarebarrel.com, and do the Facebook and Twitter thing there, facebook.com/therarebarrel and twitter.com/therarebarrel. Next up, the Fort George Brewery of Astoria, Oregon, has brought back their Homebrewers Dinner Competition for 2012 after canceling last year due to the Oregon liquor law problem prohibiting the transport of homebrew. But I guess that's solved now, so a two-bottle sample is due at the brewery by 5 p.m. on Friday, March 23rd. Label bottles in the customary manner for competitions, and there is no entry fee. You can enter as often as you like, but each brewer may only win once. Winners will be notified by Sunday, April 1st, and must be able to provide 35 12-ounce bottles or the equivalent volume of the winning beer for the dinner to be held on Wednesday, April 18th. Winners will be awarded a pair of seats at the dinner where the winning beers will be paired by the pub's chef. This is not a BJCP competition, and beers will be judged solely on quality, variety, creativity, and compatibility with food pairing. No homebrew will be bought or sold. For more info, visit fortgeorgebrewery.blogspot.com or give them a call, 503-325-PINT. Finally this week, New Zealand is calling all craft beer geniuses. Applications are now being sought by a New Zealand brewhouse to travel down under and create a world-class range of brews for the Kiwi nation to fall in love with. The Boundary Road Brewery, they're called. They're seeking applications for the position of the resident. The role will entail a qualified brewer traveling to Auckland for a month on an all-expenses-paid sabbatical to create three bespoke beers, which will undoubtedly take the small island nation of 4 million by storm. As well as the opportunity to create a new range of craft beer and become a national hero, the brewer who makes the cut will also get the chance to explore New Zealand during their stay and check out what it has to offer. Accommodations for the month and a food and travel allowance is included to ensure the brewer has the experience of a lifetime in the country known for its bungee jumps, sheeps, and hobbits. That actually sounds a little sketchy, but it sounds like a fantastic opportunity. The recruitment process will be open until March 16, 2012, and those interested can tell the brewery why by emailing brewmaster@boundaryroadbrewery.co.nz. Best of luck if you guys apply for that gig. It seems like it would be a sweet experience. All right, that's it for this week. As always, send your announcements over to scott@thebrewingnetwork.com for a spot in this segment. And until next time, this is Scott the Jew saying, L'chaim.
You know, when Israel had sinned and God was trying to decide who he going to send down to save the earth, they was around, somebody had suggested that he sent Abraham. He told Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister, not his wife. Then said, no, he can't send Noah. I said,
strictly illegal.
Noah was a little wino.
I had a fellow live next door to me who brewed homebrew in the bathtub.
The beer we selling now, not good enough. Good enough.
But it was strictly illegal.
I don't think you want to do this to your children, do you? Man, you gonna make everybody up there wino. I don't think you want to do this to your children, do you? Man, you gonna make everybody up there wino. You know, we have people that live on the street that'll go into your local Dollar General store and buy shaving lotion for a high.
For a high. For a high.
Chevy's Regal is stamped and approved by the governmental agency that says this is healthy.
Strictly illegal.
Bathtub.
You don't want your child at a party. Our children are already getting a hold to enough alcohol.
Brewed homebrew in the bathtub. In the bathtub.
I can just see my bootlegger now. I can just see my bootlegger now. Bam, 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 bam. I got all I want for free. I got all I want for free.
How are you going to make it in your home if you don't have the facilities to make sure it's healthy?
In the bathtub.
Noah was a little wino.
Free. What's going to keep these folks from making moonshine in their house?
Noah was a wino. What is MEAD need? What is that?
Frankly illegal.
You know, the thing about this bill that really scares me the most.
Noah was a wino. You got to be scientifically trained.
I don't think
to determine that.
No,
Chevy's Regal is stamped and approved by the governmental agency that said this is healthy.
Chevy's Regal is stamped and approved. Strictly illegal.
Little you know when Israel had sinned.
Strictly illegal.
God was trying to decide who he going to send down.
Strictly illegal.
Somebody.
Strictly illegal.
He told Pharaoh that Sarah was his
strictly illegal
sister, not his wife. And oh, you can't say no one said
strictly illegal.
And by shaving lotion for a high.
Strictly illegal.
What is MEAD need? Man, you gonna make everybody a wino.
Strictly illegal. Strictly illegal.
You got to be scientifically trained. Man, you gonna make everybody up there wino.
Hey, everybody. These are the Brewing Network's announcements for Sunday, March 18th.
Attention brewers and meat enthusiasts. Brewmeisters Anonymous is proud to announce the 9th annual Arizona Meat Cup Homebrew Competition. It'll be held on March 31st and April 1st in Phoenix. It's been running since 2003. The event has drawn support from numerous organizations, meat and cider companies. The 2011 competition was a huge success with 65 entries of meat and cider. This year's deadline is March 22nd. They ask you to please consider entering your meat and cider in the mead-only competition. Entry fee is $8, and they only need 2 12-ounce bottles or 3 7-ounce bottles. For more information, visit Brewmeisters Anonymous's website at brewarizona.org, or feel free to contact Sonia Lockhart at meadlady@gmail.com. Next up this week, the planets have aligned, or more accurately, they will on May 20th. While most of North America will be left out, including cities like San Francisco and Sacramento, Truckee happens to lie in the path of totality for the annular eclipse coming up later this spring. Our friends at 5050 Brewing Company happen to be celebrating their 5th anniversary. They, of course, produce the highly acclaimed Eclipse barrel-aged Imperial Stouts. We've talked about that beer a million times. So they decided to team up with a local nonprofit called High Fives to host a party in honor of both occasions. A 5050 beer garden, barrel-aged spirit garden, and some excellent food offerings are planned. Also, they're going to start making room for expansion, so they're going to be offering some rare bottles for sale, including previous vintages of Eclipse and other barrel-aged blends and some new products. Additionally, there's going to be a raffle and a silent auction. Tickets are available at a discount in advance by going to 5050's website, and entry includes food tickets, live music, games for the family, and viewing glasses, of course, so you can check out that Eclipse without burning your eyeballs. So, real quick, Sunday, May 20th, 2012, it's noon to 8:30 p.m. at 5050 Brewing Company in Truckee. $14 in advance, $17 at the door, $7 for kids. Check them out, 5050brewing.com. That's it. Short list this week. As always, for a spot in this segment, send your announcements over to Scott at thebrewingnetwork.com. And until next time, this is Scott the Jew saying, L'chaim.
Live. Beer Radio. The Brewing Network.
The Brewcasters.
If you're just starting, don't be discouraged by all this stuff. Exactly. It's so easy.
Just throw it together.
Put some sugar and some water and some yeast in there.
Yeah.
Brewing Network.
Brewcasters are back.
It ain't 401 beer.
Whatever.
Whatever. I was going to the beer bar with my bitches, and that girl was there, and I was like, oh my god, and she was like, oh my god, and I was like,
JP, can we go to San Francisco?
Yeah.
Because I need you with me to watch my back.
All right.
What? You can talk like that?
I think you just did, yeah.
Some of the places I need to go.
You need people to talk like that?
Yeah, I do.
Where do you go? What do you do in the dark hours of the night?
it gets me into places I shouldn't be.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think a 6 foot five, 220 frame is going to get you into somewhere? Do you not?
You know what?
Yeah.
That will get me in anywhere.
Yeah?
Yeah, it will.
Well, shit, howdy. Let's do it. Only if I can pick a couple of the places.
Of course.
Well, Eagle Bar, Eagle's Nest,
the White Swallow.
Ew, that's not a real place, is it?
Yeah, it is.
So that's
Castro.
So gross.
It's right next to Moby Dick.
Wow.
I've never been to the Castro. I think I've driven through it. I've never actually taken the time to.
You would love it. It's fabulous.
The name.
It's actually
amazing.
Real gross.
It's nasty.
Sure it's kind gross. Of a gross. But the residential part of the Castro is beautiful.
It's the Cafe du Nord in the Castro. I've been there.
Yeah. You just said that like, well, I have a black friend. You told that's how you just said. Oh. I mean, I know some black people. It's okay, right?
I know one.
You do know one.
Castro's a very weird combination of very clean, like you said. The residence is like no trash. It's beautiful and extremely dirty.
Yeah, it's real weird.
Because there's this naked dude sitting on bar stools.
I mean, that's normal, I guess.
Oh, yeah. That's just like a normal Wednesday.
But they're very polite.
Yeah.
Well, then afterwards they'll come up and they'll offer to push in your stool.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Welcome back to the session. I mean, excuse me. Welcome back to another beer podcast that we've never heard of. It's Talking with Paul.
Oh, gross.
Back to the session. Glad we weren't talking about the gay bars, huh, guys? Not like Talking Beer with Paul.
Are we
I know a gay guy.
Are we on?
Yeah. Sorry about the double shot of Scott's announcements. I loaded the wrong break, and or I loaded the wrong thing, and then you know he's like, "Well, you should play the other one because I did them." I'm thinking, is anybody going to fucking know or care?
Yeah. Oh, they got double information. Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I don't have an issue with... I just want to make sure the ones I did for today got played, and they did. So.
All right.
Excellent.
Well, I still don't think anybody cares or notices. See, the problem here is, Scott, I think it's in the way that you're labeling everything. Because it has announcement. You have two that announcements 2012, both titled 3, and one is 2 minutes and one is 3.5.
Yeah,
so
but
I blame you.
It's
I blame you.
I said 3/18/12, not just 3.
Yeah, but
I label everything with the full date.
3/18/12 didn't come through, so I blame you.
Perfect.
And that's how we get out of it. What do you think of that? Let's do drunk of the week. 888-401-BEER. That's 888-401-2337. We're also going to go through the Twitter game. We're also going to taste some of Doc's beer. If you can't tell, we're trying to kill time until the pizza shows up.
So this is kind of a Duvel clone. It's a Golden Strong. It's a little young yet.
Wait, by the way, I'm going to cut you off for a sec, Doc.
Why? Why would you do that?
Because Bevo just ran out of the room.
She heard babies crying.
Because her baby's crying. And I think that's more of a testament to Sam's parenting skills that she doesn't trust. She doesn't trust
her husband.
The second
she hears the baby, it's a beeline.
Room. What are you doing to my child? Yes. And he's like, he's trying the best he can.
It's making noise.
And she just runs out of here like he's pulling a Michael Jackson.
I just want to make sure she's okay.
Oh, come on.
But you know, but Sam is out there. You don't trust him enough to make sure that she's taken care of?
That's a rhetorical question.
Okay,
I mean, nothing soothes her like I do, though.
But if you left her out there with Justin's mom, and that extra wailing went on, yeah, run out there. But his dad, dad, extra wailing, let dad deal with it. Come on.
Why don't you stop being an overcomplicated
person?
You're
going to have to let go of the reins at some point.
Yeah, giving Sam an inferiority complex.
She's only 5 months old. I don't have to let go yet.
Well, when you're doing your job.
Just a little.
When you're working, I guess.
When I'm paid for this job, then I will.
Phone's ringing, Bebo.
It's still a job.
Phone's ringing,
Bebo. Still a job.
Whatever.
You want to take during the week call, Scott?
Let's do it.
Doc, I mean?
Yeah.
Whoever you are.
Okay,
we're both Scott.
Taryn, you do me a favor and shut the door, please. That whiny, crying baby was over there and crying and whining.
Schumann doesn't even live here anymore.
Schumann doesn't even live here anymore. That's when you should run out of the room, is when Schumann is in the house and your baby starts crying. Yeah.
Hi.
Caller, who's this?
Dave from Albany.
Dave from Albany.
That's New York, right?
Yeah, sir.
Western New York.
How you doing, buddy? Are you calling for drunk of the week?
Central New York.
Or what are you calling for?
Yeah, I'm fucking drunk.
He's a jovial drunk.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, right?
Cannot deny it.
Are you drunk all by yourself, or do you have friends?
Yeah, I'm by myself. My fucking roommate didn't come back tonight. He's coming back tomorrow.
Oh, shit. Yeah, get drunk.
Get hella drunk, too.
All right, so I got a fucking thing. I got a resume.
Are you getting drunk on your roommate's beer?
No, he's not here. It's all my beer.
All right.
I've never fucking listened live. It's awesome.
Is it awesome?
Nice.
It's fucking awesome.
How am I doing as a person in general? Am I okay? Have I exceeded or under
achieved? Everybody's awesome.
Everybody.
I have a four and a half hour drive from Pennsylvania to Albany, and I listen to you guys straight, and I don't get bored.
All right, well, I believe that he's drunk because he's thinking that we're doing an awesome job.
Yeah.
That's pretty drunk.
And I'm pretty sure he has no idea that you're not Justin.
No, he has no idea. What have you had to drink, Dave?
All right, I've had a Trogues Nugget Nectar.
All right, and Nug.
Nugs.
Trogues Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver, all right.
Baranek Single Malt. Another Trogues Nugget. Centennial IPA. Jesus Christ, I can't even talk. Centennial IPA. Another Trogues Nugget. Saranac Pale, another Trogues Nugget, Genesee Regular, and Genesee 12 Horse.
Another Trogues Nugget, another Trogues Nugget.
How much time was elapsed from the first to the last?
When you guys started, but I only had a sandwich today, and that was all I fucking had to eat. I'm fucking starving.
That's it, man?
I'm drinking it. I'm drinking my calories today. I guess I got a drink to survive.
Yeah,
you know, it's Sunday, you should.
Make some mac and cheese.
He also posted his...
I got class tomorrow at 9.
Oh,
and I gotta wake up because it's downtown. I gotta wake up at like fucking 8:30.
Oh my god.
8 o'clock.
I hope it's not a phlebotomy class.
It's a criminal justice class.
A criminal justice
class. criminal justice?
He also put his phone number in the chat. People have been texting him.
So I give him a wake-up call.
Why would you post your phone number in the chat?
Drunk.
Bro.
Fucking bored, dude.
Well, would you like to leave it for all the archive listeners from now until infinity?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
No. Let's just save him right now. No.
Yeah, don't do that.
Can you imagine in like 5 years someone's texting, what are you doing, bro?
Let's just say no. I'm going to save you right now.
Fuck you, Spider Wrangler. It was 8 beers. Give me a break, dude. I had a sandwich.
Yeah, Spider.
Uh-huh. Hey, Dave, you studying to be a cop, buddy? Dave, are you studying to be a cop?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a future of law enforcement, everybody.
And hey, at least he knows the other side.
If I can't be a cop, I'm gonna have a brewery.
Oh, come on. How many Irish cops are out there?
How many are that are not Irish?
No, but they don't drink. Right, yeah. Okay.
All right, Dave, you're in the running for during the week, my friend.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening live and hanging out and participating and all that kind of nonsense, man. I'm glad you enjoy it.
First time live.
Awesome. Good, man.
Glad to know you're out there.
Thanks for doing it.
Every fucking Sunday.
Every Sunday, first time live?
Next time,
yeah,
second
first time
live.
But I'm gonna fucking hang out every Sunday.
Good, man. You should.
Cursing.
Well, why haven't you yet? That's the question.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
I'm always out drinking.
Are you home alone right now?
Yeah, my roommate's not coming back till tomorrow. I'm drinking alone. I got a lot of beers under my belt alone, and it sucks.
Well, take them out from your belt and drink them. Trust me, that's how it works. It works better. All right, buddy. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Later, Dave.
Later.
All right, goodbye.
I don't know how to hang up.
Just
on
press
people.
Hold.
She's going to do that.
Yeah, we're?
Caller, you're on the internet.
I am on the internet.
Is this Dave again?
I'm on the phone. You're on the internet.
Sounds like Dave.
What's up?
Who is this?
This is Dave. This is Bruiser.
Oh. Bruiser! What's up, bro? Were you the one who tricked us with your funny email?
I did.
Oh, you silly goose!
Did I get you?
You got us!
I got you.
Remember, he was the one who was like, oh, I hate everything, and you guys all suck, and I'm never listening again?
He's from Jersey.
Yeah, right. He's from Jersey. Right.
Even though I know it was a joke, I'm still a little stung, Bruiser.
Right.
I wasn't sure it was a joke.
I didn't give a shit,
pissed.
So I wasn't like... I didn't get it.
I'm still calling in, so you know it was a joke.
Okay, we okay.
And I'm still giving you fuckers $2 a month, so...
Wow.
Well, see, that was the part I was a little bit worried about.
How about that?
Yeah, Doc doesn't get his 5-cent cut.
I didn't care about your attitude. It's the $2 I was worried about.
How you feeling, Bruiser? You drunk?
Nah, I'm taking it easy tonight.
Well, that's good news. Why are you calling in, then?
I
got a limerick.
Why
I got a
calling?
Limerick for you, buddy.
Oh, that's right. Well, I'm trying to go through all my bullshit, Viva. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that sometimes I get confused.
Well,
okay, that's right. Here, I got you right here. Don't worry about
forgiven.
It.
You're forgiven.
Don't worry about it.
Ooh.
Oh, by the way, Viva, have you seen that new taco at Taco Bell that's coated in Doritos
yes,
nacho cheese?
Yes, I have.
Cheese?
I've seen it.
Have
you had it yet?
No.
I'm counting on you to get it for me
and
bring it
and
we can share it like Lady and the Tramp style.
I'm not trying not to eat bad.
Oh, my
worst thing I've eaten all week is that cheese bread.
Yeah. Oh, my kids saw that, the Dorito taco thing. I had to slap them.
Shouldn't. I'll slap them for you. So, all right, Bruiser, go ahead.
Spicy Fritos?
No, it's like a, I don't know what the...
The taco is made out of Dorito.
It's like a taco
shell is Doritos.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like coated with nacho cheese.
God.
Which is the best part of the Dorito.
I just shit my pants. About that.
What, did you have one?
No.
Just listening to you talk about it.
Oh, just think it's an awesome marketing thing.
It's great. It's great for Doritos.
Well, Taco Bell owns Frito-Lay.
No. So.
That's why they have the burrito with Frito.
Oh, yes. Right.
They get a deal on them.
Sounds like part of the Occupy movement. Did you know that the big corporations own, for example?
No, I'm just pissed that they didn't put the two together yet for a long time.
When are they going to do the Cool Ranch? That's the next obvious choice.
Oh, maybe, God.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, get your hand out of your pants, first of all.
Did you not fire off that email to them?
No.
Maybe?
What?
Come on.
What email? No, I should.
What? Do you think they just know this stuff?
I would hope
feedback at Frito-Lay.com.
Yes.
But what if I want to sign into their forum? How do I do? All right, Bruiser,
the chat room is really live right now.
Fuck the chat room. you have a limerick, right? You have a sort of limerick. All right, and I apologize for not looking at it.
St. Patty's Day.
I got it at the in the feedback email, and I don't know. I don't like something skews me out about opening attachments from people I don't know. So I never do it. So anybody who sends me an attachment, I never open it. So go ahead and read it to me now, please, in an Irish accent, preferably in a leprechaun voice from Leprechaun 4 in the Hood.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen the movie, so I don't know if I can pull it off.
Well, first of all, that makes you an asshole. But go ahead.
Just fake it.
Okay, here we go. There once were some dudes from Pacheco. Every Sunday they hosted a beer show. When I'd tune in at 5 and hear them all chatting live, I'd kind of jizz in my pants, no homo.
Well done, Dave. Well done.
It's almost a haiku.
It's almost
a haiku. It's nothing like a haiku.
No, well, it's almost as in it's not.
Throw out the Irish brogue. It could almost be.
It reminds me a lot of The Man from Nantucket.
Yes, it does. Right.
Which is also a limerick.
Well, yeah, that's essentially what it was based on.
Whatever a limerick.
Bruiser, so you're not drunk. You're not calling for during the week. You just wanted to spit some rhymes, right?
He's a poet.
I just
and don't
to
know.
Share. I just wanted to share. You know.
Well, I appreciate it.
That was good stuff.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
Hey, Doc. Thanks for sharing this beer. What is this?
Yeah, let's talk about that while we wait for more Drunk of the Week calls.
It's really kind of creamy. What's the deal with that?
This is...
Pizza's here.
So, I love the doorbells. It's great.
This is basically, it's a golden, Belgian golden strong. Dual clone kind of thing. Oh. It took a lot of babying. You have to feed it to get it from...
Can I say that I love dogs? I think everyone should own a dog. And more importantly, what you should do with your dog is never train it to not bark at the fucking doorbell. Ever. Never train it to not bark. Because at some point, you're going to want to not have that bark, and you'll never get it.
But you know what your room never smells like when you own a dog? Cat piss.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. It smells like dog piss.
So the beer, Doc, it's super, super clear. I showed it to the camera
like
a few minutes ago. Kind of cat piss-esque in its clarity.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. So
yeah.
But it started at least a 1080-ish, 85-ish, and it got down to about a 1008. This one, I actually used some Beano tablets at the end.
Oh, really?
I really wanted to finish low.
Yeah. I already feel like my gas is subsiding.
Actually. Yeah. but it's basically an amylase enzyme, so it breaks things up so...
Short makes a long chain, a short...
So the yeast can ferment it down even farther.
So if this were like the late 1800s or during Prohibition, you could sell this as like an anti-gas medicine.
Right.
Yeah, you're a snake oil salesman. I appreciate that.
So, but this is still real early on for this one. I cut some out. I filtered it, carved it up. It's very clear, but it's... At this high alcohol, you can't even taste it.
So what percent sugar was this? What did you put in for sugar?
Probably 20%, 25%, but I did it in increments.
You dosed it during the ferment, you're saying?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So almost all the corn sugar, it's candy sugar actually, it went in about every 2 days. I put another pound.
How do you decide when to put it in? Just have a scheduling, just put it in those days?
Yeah, I watched the regular ferment slow down a little bit.
Oh, I see. When
and
you
then
see it, they're great.
Put some more into the primary. It kicks back up again when it starts to slow down, which is about every 2 days.
Nice.
Put some more in. And you just don't want to overdo it.
Overdose it.
Sugar. If you put like 4 or 5 pounds in all at once, and I'm talking about a 22-gallon batch.
Okay, good.
If you put too much in all at once, it'll just shut down. And then you end up with a non-fermentable, really kind of a sickly sweet beer. Wow. This one is really light.
No, I don't, and I'm not getting all that alcohol, I mean, even for as young as it is.
No, it's got to be at least 10%, at least.
And is it that high? Wow.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's creamy. Good. It's got like a creamy ale.
It does. It's got this creaminess to it, and it's... It's one of my favorite beers I've ever brewed.
A dessert beer or something. Yeah. It's great.
It's pretty good.
Is this the first beer you've put Beano in?
No.
You've done it before?
No, but this one I kind of figured it was coming. So I really wanted to really finish down. I was starting to slow down. It was about 10, 12-ish, something like that. So there's regular Beano tablets will come in like that hard thing you got to crunch up. But if you can get like the CVS pharmacy stuff, it comes in little capsules. It's already powdered. Really easy to put in.
It comes in liquid form, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I feel like we're at an AARP meeting right now.
Yeah, I can't swallow them big pills anymore. I can't swallow them big pills, so I got to crunch them all up.
You want to take another phone call?
Of course.
Yeah, let's have them.
I think it's going to be better than the other one. Oh, I think Bevo's still on the line. I'm still trying to figure out this hybrid nonsense. We've gotten two phone calls. One was actually Drunk of the Week. The other was just a guy.
Like I had poetry.
Well, I'm waiting for the last week's call.
We have Henry on line one.
Henry?
Tatas of the Week. Drunk
of the Week. Henry.
Hi, Henry.
Hi, guys.
What's happening?
I'm Henry Hudson.
Yeah? Are you Henry?
I'm Henry Hudson.
What do you have? What would you like, Henry
Where
Hudson?
Are you calling from, Henry?
Yeah.
Like everything.
You calling from every? You got another shitty limerick for us?
Holy shit, guys!
What a maniac! There's no repeat calls. What do you think? I'm stupid with a T at the end. Fuckers!
Stupid.
Just because you fooled Bevo doesn't mean you can't fool me. I know everything in the world. Let's see how long we can just be quiet.
Should we do the Twitter game?
No, I want to play the quiet game. Because I know it'll piss everyone off.
Put that guy back on.
I want to be as quiet as possible.
Oh, God, no.
Let's do a Twitter game. Because we're clearly not getting any Drunk of the Week calls. Because, and this is the third time that's happened to me. The third time I host the fucking show. The third time nobody wants to call in for Drunk of the Week.
Next time? Ask for it at the beginning of the show.
Well, no. But first of all, don't talk to me like I'm 4 years old and I put my hand on the burner and burnt my hand.
No,
well,
it's like you.
Next time, don't do that.
Well,
motherfucker.
It's not just you. It just happens.
It's everybody.
No, it just happens. Sometimes we just don't get Drunk of the Week calls coming in. Don't blame this on you. But if you want to bolster your chances of having really hammered people calling in, ask him at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I'm actually going to blame JP.
Henry you sounded might not, really but. Drunk.
Yeah, but he called in to do the limerick the first time, and I asked him if he was drunk of the week, and he goes, "No, I just want to share this with
dude,
you."
No, dude, that was Dave.
It was a different guy. It was the same guy, but with a different name.
So
same guy.
Dave called in again.
Dave called in again. It wasn't limerick guy that called in again. Limerick guy was
well. Either
guy.
Way,
that was Bruiser.
Either way, someone called in twice, and that is against the law. Because Dave already is on the list for Drunk of the Week. So far, he's the winner.
Oh, you know why no one's calling? I just realized. It's because everyone was so hammered last night for St. Patty's that now they're all hungover and they're not drinking.
Let's play the Twitter game.
Yeah,
I didn't have a chance to write anything down because, you know, I was stumbling through an interview.
You wake up feeling bad, just drink more.
Right? Yes. The question was on Twitter, the Twitter game was, what the fuck was it, Scott? You remember what it was? What's the worst thing about being a beer geek?
Yeah. Yes.
So I think we got some good ones.
When someone hands you a Coors Light in a can, the silver bullet, and they take look at you like enjoy, and you just like,
I'm not going to.
I'm like,
this is a weird one. This is from Andrew. He says holding your tongue and not sounding like a jerk when someone says Pliny the Elder is a great Belgian beer.
people say that.
Apparently, I've never heard it, but it's pretty funny.
I've heard that. We saw something on this show a long time ago about somebody. Described it as Belgian or something.
Kung Fu Monkey 12 says, turning off the ladies when I talk about the wonders of yeast. That's pretty gross.
Yeah, that bread thing.
I forget how cool beer is and think I'm just a geek. That's Nico from Nico Brew. And then he says, it makes your penis so big it's just tough to deal with. I like Nico.
No,
he's a
doesn't.
Weird dude.
Usually I do, yeah.
He's a weird guy. John on Twitter says, only being able to order an IPA, a double IPA, or a Russian Imperial Stout. That I can relate to. It seems like everybody just has these giant beers all the time. There's no session beers around anywhere, and that pisses me off.
want to.
Going from 6 to noon every time someone mentions a decoction mash. You know, it's a boner. 6 to... Okay, no one likes
Thank
that
you.
One. Tim Burt says, let me think. Nothing! Sounds like something Doc would say.
That's not bad. Tim Burton?
Tim Burton. Oh, man. By the way, speaking of Tim Burton, that douche nozzle. I saw a trailer for his new movie, The Dark Shadows. You're old enough. You guys are old enough to remember Dark Shadows.
The old TV show?
The old TV
show. He's doing a movie about it?
Yes. What is Dark Shadows?
It was a soap opera.
Yeah.
But it had to do with vampires.
Yeah, you really
it was like
it.
The worst yeah. B grade.
Oh, I
you would dig it.
I would come home from school and watch it. I was 10.
It's on Netflix now.
I was watching it and I started having nightmares, and as an 11-year-old I go, I gotta stop watching that.
And you wet your bed.
I took myself off of it.
From that ball of cheese?
I really liked it. It was actually
It's good. It was creepy. And I mean, it was like 67 or 68 when it came out. It was in black and white and transitioned to color, and then they redid it again.
It was a soap opera, but it had to do with Barnabas Collins and vampires.
Right. So now Tim Burton, I imagine it's Tim Burton, but Johnny Depp, more importantly, is Barnabas Collins. And they did a remake, and it's like cheesy, where instead of... Because the story is Barnabas Collins comes back to his old like family estate. And he's not dead. He just went to live in England or whatever. And he comes back, but everyone thinks he's dead because no one knows he's a vampire. And then he slowly takes over and like makes people vampires and all this kind of shit. But it's like now Johnny Depp wakes up and it's like the 20th century and there's other people living in his house. It's cheeseball, corny bullshit trying to be funny. And it's horrible. And it makes me mad. Makes
Why?
Me upset. I don't know. Pisses me off.
It wasn't cheesy.
The really? Show?
No, the show
no,
wasn't.
Yeah, no, it was really not cheesy. No, you're right. But it was C grade even. B grade's too
kind.
Oh, yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, I mean, but the storyline was pretty good. They did a good job. But they stretched it out, and, you know, like it was a serial every week.
It was very soap opera-y.
Yeah.
But it wasn't cheesy.
Right.
Even though it was about, yeah.
It has a
crap.
Cult following to this day. Annual conventions at which you can find 5,000 Dark Shadows people. JP.
Is it?
Oh, yes.
I thought you were just being an outrageous Scott.
No.
Really?
Yes. Dark Shadows has a crazy cult following.
Well, this movie is a turd. I wouldn't... If you took the script and printed it out and gave it to me, I wouldn't even wipe with it. It's that bad.
You'd use your hand.
It's horrible.
Well, speaking of movies that you think are going to be terrible... And Johnny Depp, 21 Jump Street was hilarious.
No.
And they made fun of themselves. Like, there's a whole line in the movie about how, like, it's the cool thing now to take things from the 80s and bring them back. Like, they're the new. Like, they totally make fun of themselves.
You actually saw that movie.
Hella fun. It's so funny.
I
cried. I laughed. And Johnny Depp has a cameo in it. It's
really
ridiculously funny. Sam hates everything I like, and he thought it was a good movie. He thought it was really funny.
I can't imagine that it was a good movie.
It was real funny. And Channing Tatum is really
I was
pretty.
Surprised that they made it a comedy.
It was
because the original 21 Jump Street wasn't a comedy.
It would have been so much better if it was like a 21 Jump Street. They made it more like a 24 kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ice Cube was in it.
Of course he was.
Ice Cube. God damn it. Everything that I like is being ruined.
So funny.
I bet it was horrible.
I promise it was
you
funny.
You like Twilight.
I do.
So anything you say is stupid. And dumb and full of
Shut
dumb
up and
things.
Answer the phone calls. I want to go home.
I want to go home
and I have
too.
To pee.
Caller, who is this? Now you got me mad.
Please.
Caller, hello.
Now he's afraid.
Hello.
Oh, you almost got dropped, bro. What's up? Who is this?
It's Icky.
Icky, what's up, bro?
Ickster.
How's that?
Yeah, what's up, man?
How's that funky bucket, bro?
Oh my God.
I haven't talked to Icky in a while, man. What's been going on with you?
Hey, just brewing a lot of beer. What are you doing?
Drinking a lot of beer.
Tonight.
Drinking a lot of beer. we've been bottling a lot of beer today.
Yeah?
I'm gonna take it down to Chad next weekend.
Oh, right on. Down at Handel's Gastropub.
At the Handel's Gastropub, I'll be there probably Friday or Saturday. Hopefully, I'll be there Friday night, maybe Saturday morning.
Oh, right.
See how fast I can get the beer down there. But
what are you coming here
for? 35. What?
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off on the interview show. What are you doing down here?
Oh, I'm delivering my NAC entries is there what I'm doing.
Nice work. I'm sorry, you were saying something about 35 what now?
35 entries this year.
Yeah. Oh, good for you, Icky.
All under the Brewing Network Club, I imagine, right?
All under the Brewing Network.
That's what I'm talking about! Oh, man. Are you going to bring any to do at Club Night? Are you going to be one of our Club Night dudes? Can I count on you?
I didn't make it in for the whole...
You're a piece of shit.
I'm not going to make it to Seattle, but I could send some beer down your way, I'm sure, because I've got a lot here.
Where are you based out of, man?
What?
Where do you live? Where do you live?
What?
He lives in Reno.
You should
Steve, where does he live?
Reno.
He lives in Reno.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or Sparks or something like that.
What? Sorry, Icky. I actually have important things to remember, like how to tie my shoes and how to drive home and shit. I don't remember where you live.
Like Reno. Yeah.
What? Well, you should remember.
Well, now I will.
Because, yeah.
Now I will. Yeah. Reno. Yeah. It's the about as much fun as this phone call. I'm just kidding. Yeah, we should hook up and try to bring a keg of beer, and we can ship it for you. And making a bunch of promises that Tasty's going to have to live up to.
If I bring a keg of beer down this weekend, or I don't know, at some point in time, you can take it to Seattle and serve it.
Yeah,
that'd be fine.
That'd be rad. Preferably not this weekend, but before that, because if you leave it with us, we'll drink it or we'll forget it.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure that out. We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Right. Sounds good.
What have you? Are you calling for drink of the week, or are you just calling to fucking catch up
with
life?
Well, I've been bottling beer all day, so that means a lot of sampling involved. A lot of roundabout trial, and I've got 40 or 50 beers, really, so it's kind of like narrowing it down, and it's 35, trying to narrow it down.
So you've had 8 million beers.
Guard is a beer to Mars, and there's a butterfly, and it's in the and then we can do this, or, triple, blonde, what the fuck, is that really this?
Okay. Thank you.
I love Icky. I just want to tell him that.
Thanks for calling.
Well, 35 entries at $10 a piece. That's some coin.
That is some coin.
And he narrowed it down to 35.
There's not a whole lot of good replies from the Twitter game. I don't know if it's just because I'm ready to go.
I think it is.
But maybe it wasn't a good question. I think it's probably more what it is.
So it all falls on you.
Dave Lau in the chat says, this is, by the way, the worst thing about being a craft beer nerd. Convincing my wife not to buy more shoes when I've got hundreds of dollars in bottled beer in the cellar.
That's sexist.
It's pretty good.
I like that.
It's almost racist.
Almost.
Unless his beer smells like her feet.
Eric Rocks 1. What's the worst thing about being a beer geek? He says, beer pong is really, really expensive. And to that I ask, how old are you?
Nah, he's talking about playing beer pong with really good beer.
Yeah, but it's still beer pong.
You know what?
Beer pong's really fun.
Is it?
JP is allergic to fun.
You like dirty balls?
That's why he's been sneezing the whole show.
Ooh, the dirty balls.
Chris says, listening to BN podcasts at work and Justin reading an Adam and Eve promo about adult toys as my boss walks by. That's probably the leader for me.
I'm amazed by how many people listen at work. Like,
without headphones. Without headphones.
Yeah.
They're killing 4 hours of time is what they're doing.
Yeah.
At least.
All right. Hold on a second.
Some podcasts. Jobs you can do that.
Caller, you're on jealous. For Drunk of the Week, I imagine?
Yeah, I'm Dave again.
Oh, you said your name was Trixie Letters.
Shit. What are you, fucking stripper? On the main stage, on line one, Trixie Letters.
Give it up.
I'm Trixie Letters. What's up?
Quit your grin and drop your linen, everybody.
Oh, man.
Excuse me, that's rude.
What do you want from us?
I want
monkeys, I got a way. I'm chick letters.
I don't know what to do with this anymore.
Did you call him to sing a song?
On line one.
Don't hang up.
On the main stage, Trixie Letters. Give it up!
Trixie Letters.
The two-for-one special going on right now.
Get those dollars out and head to the champagne room for Trixie Letters.
Trixie Stage 2.
We've got lap dances for $10. I'm not sure what he means to us. Any birthday boys out there?
Japanese businessman's lunch tomorrow.
Crab feed! You work tomorrow? You can't enjoy the Japanese businessman lunch then, apparently.
Fuck, dude, come on, chill out.
Did you just tell me to chill out? No way, bro. Seriously, stop. I can't even think right now. This is Dave again?
This is Dave again.
Yeah. Hey, Dave again. One time, a show, because you're blocking everybody else who wants to call. Actually, Dave has been the most interesting part of this whole show.
Yeah, keep trying to.
Caller, you're on line two, as if you needed to know.
Hello, everybody. Men, shall I say?
Hi, Sarah.
Is this Sarah?
Actually, perhaps.
Hi, Sarah. How are you doing, baby?
Wonderful.
Yeah?
Hey, shout out to Tasty there.
Well, hey, sir.
Feel free to shout out.
Nice.
You're using your low voice tonight.
So,
you're not drinking, I can tell. You're using your low voice.
No, I'm trying to not do the high-pitched voice.
I see.
I'm going to try.
Is this your serious voice?
No, that's her second six-hour voice.
This is my serious voice.
This is my doctor voice.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Right.
Sweet.
So, do me a favor.
Okay, so say this for me. Please, so can you pull your pants down? I want to check your prostate.
They're already down.
Oh, I see.
You didn't get it.
Sarah, okay. Use your doctor voice.
No.
I'm glad to know about where yours are.
She might command him.
I am. But, I'm actually calling for Drunk of the Week because I have somewhat of a resume, I think, aside from other people that have called in. So I figured
you mean Dave?
My chance.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, the one other person.
Yeah. By the way, can I ask you a question before you start, baby?
Sure.
Why did you wait for me to host the show to call in as Boring Sarah?
I'm not boring.
Sure?
She's just getting going.
I'm positive.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm matured.
I just want... I'll say. All right, go ahead, baby. What did you have?
Okay, so I had a Ruthless Rye from Sierra Nevada. Then I had two of the Hoptimums from Sierra Nevada, which actually I enjoy greatly. And then came back home, had a couple of our homebrew dried stout, and Bridge Brew Works, they made a Moxie coffee stout with my, actually, Ryan Hastings. I'm giving a little, like, plug here right now. But I actually had three of those, and then ended up going... Yeah, exactly. I'm accepting that I'm the female in the household. And then I had three of the Bridge Brew Works Lager. So that's a local brewery right by our house. So I've had a significant amount of drink, and I'm pretending that my voice is at this pitch all the time.
Well, I think that's how Tasty talks. I think.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
He has to pretend. Do you think your local brewery uses Beersmith? I don't know if you've heard about Beersmith, Sarah, but Beersmith. With Beersmith, you can easily design world class beers at home, much like the ones that you've just described to us.
Oh yeah, we actually use it all the time.
There we go.
We're fans.
Does it make your brew day easier? Because as far as I'm concerned, you can design a recipe in a few minutes and then generate step-by-step brewing instructions that tell you how to brew your beer. You can build recipes quickly, match your favorite beer styles, features for every brew from beginning to advanced. It supports extract, partial mash, all grain, and the weight of Bevo's baby. Free 21-day trial and video tutorials at beersmith.com. Take the guesswork out of brewing with Beersmith.
She's healthy.
And let me tell you, it does take the guesswork out of it.
It does.
It makes it simple as making an apple pie.
It depends. Do you use store-bought crust or do you make your own?
Both.
At the same time?
At the same time.
I've never felt more like an airplane than I do right now. Just kind of going overhead.
Yeah, pretty much.
Was that it? Was that your recipe or your resume? Give me your recipe for apple pie. Now I'm hungry. So how many apples? Go ahead.
Oh,
I love you, Sarah. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you so much. But I don't know what to do.
It's a good recipe. Or a resume.
Oh, I can tell by the blinking lights now that Beva wants to go home and she's locked everyone out. It's 8:45 and you're looking at me like it's an 8-hour show we've just done.
I unlocked them.
I want to go home. Why? Because I've been here almost 4 hours.
No. She came here late.
So. Oh, yeah. Almost 3.5
hours.
At
5 exactly.
Well,
we can be done, right? Pizza's getting cold.
Oh, your pizza? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I heard the ding dong a long time.
All right.
Ago.
Well, it's.
That's JP, but the doorbell also rang.
JP, this is your ship.
That's
right. You want to keep going?
You want to keep going? We're with you, buddy.
I can go to midnight.
We'll go right into that iceberg with JP.
I can do whatever you want. I'm good.
All right. Well, if Doc wants to stay,
I can stay.
And then we're staying.
All right. Good.
All right. Apparently, we're getting out of here. Wow.
I heard a snort.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And fucking Charlotte's Web and the pin over there. That's one fabulous pig baby.
Wasn't Charlotte the spider?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Where's the closing song in this stupid thing?
He's a friend of mine, baby.
No, it's JP's an asshole, right? You're going to do your announcements?
Yeah, I got to do
who's
those.
Who's the winner? Who's the drunk of the week winner?
Yeah, well, look, maybe there's some things that I have to load. Just leave me alone for a second.
Give him a minute here.
What?
Well, all right. We have three choices. We have Dave from Albany, we have Icky, and we have Sarah.
I vote for Trixie Legs or whatever.
Trixie Legs. That was you in Hawaii 12 months ago, you whore.
Rude.
But accurate.
Whore with her husband.
All right. Icky was pretty drunk.
Yes, he was. He sampled a lot of things, right. You know.
Yeah, you guys talk amongst yourselves while I fucking take a nap on that stupid thing.
Okay.
Feedback.
Dave was pretty functional. He could dial lots of times.
I can read you the children's story that I'm writing.
He could make up false names, too.
Sarah sounded great, though, huh?
She's very controlled and trying to control the pitch of her voice.
She did.
And she did. She had a good resume, too. She had like 10 beers.
A lot of them her boyfriend or Ryan made it, sounds like.
It's not enough.
I still feel like we need to punish Sarah by not voting her for Drunk of the Week for getting so spectacularly shown up last week by Jordan.
Yes. Oh, man. I was hoping she would call again.
That was a hard act to follow.
Yeah, it was.
It doesn't have to be, though. I mean, I feel like Sarah could tie the game, you know? Send it to overtime.
She'd have to up her game to tie the
game. Exactly.
Yeah.
Over the top.
Well, that's a personal decision she'd have to make.
So you guys want to vote? Let's vote. Who's voting for Dave from Albany? A.K.A. Trixie.
Yeah, that loser. What?
Okay, who's voting for Icky? And Sarah.
I vote for Icky. I'm sorry. But it has to be anonymous.
It's two to...
I'd rather
Who'd
be
Who'd you
anonymous.
Vote for? Any of those?
I voted for Dave.
So that's three for Dave.
So we need to bring the Ickies over to...
Just sheer stupidity. That dude's so drunk and dumb, it's hard.
But I don't want to give it to him because then it encourages everyone to call more than once.
Let him call through because we weren't having a lot of calls. I mean, I was going to shut him down. Yeah. I wasn't going to let him call through, but then it got really funny with the names, and I just couldn't not do it.
That's true. That's true. But I'm voting for Icky. Wait, vote again? Who voted for Icky?
Just you and I.
No. Well, right. Tasty and I are the winners.
Trust me. If Dave hadn't called in twice... I would have voted for Icky.
Why are you voting for Icky?
Because I think he was the drunkest of the three. And he called in once like a fucking human being does.
No.
He followed the rules. All right.
Okay, I've been
and
persuaded.
He's a human being.
Yeah, I'm switching to Icky.
All right.
So, Beva, would you, if David had only called in once, would you have voted for Icky, Beva? That's the premise we're putting out there.
Dave, put his phone number into the chat room and let people text him. Like, encouraged them to text him.
And it's true.
I don't even want these assholes to PM me.
To PN you?
PM. Private message.
PN you?
I don't want anyone to PN me either.
Shut up.
You said it. I don't know, man.
PM.
I don't know what you do when your day's off.
My cell phone number used to be on my Facebook account, and then I started getting random texts.
Guess are you
what?
Serious?
It's not there anymore.
Man.
Why was it even there in the first place?
That? I don't know, because just, I'm stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Many people do
oh, wait,
that.
You weren't married yet.
No, I was married.
Oh, wait, you
as
weren't
if,
married
if she
yet.
Wasn't, that's oh, no. why.
I was drunk at NHC in Minnesota, and I put something on Facebook about why, I didn't know why I was awake, because it was like 5:30 in the morning, and somebody called me. I was like, who the hell is this?
And who was
oh,
it? Who was
hell
it?
No.
I don't remember his name, because I was drunk.
All right, well, okay, Dave or Icky? Let's let the.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Dave.
I've seen you at NHC at 5, 6 in the morning.
I feel haven't. Pretty.
Oh, yeah, you do. Well, yeah, no, you,
pretty
gave,
fucking
you gave me that
hammered.
Ugly look. You weren't happy with me and your husband.
I was pregnant. I wasn't drunk then.
We were singing good songs.
You were singing Jump,
Jump
outside
over
my window.
And over.
Outside my door.
And over.
You know what?
And it then the Shulman brothers took a shit in the fountain right outside of my
oh
window.
Oh, my God. I forgot
ouch.
About that.
Yeah.
What assholes.
Literally.
Did I mention pregnant? Not drunk.
Bitchy.
I hear everything. I didn't God. Have the drunk cloud.
So we're so nobody's going to persuade you to go back from Dave.
Uh-uh.
Oh, we got big trouble then.
We're going to stand
up. I'm overriding it. I'm going with Icky for Drunk of the Week, everybody.
You bitch.
Justin's not here. He made that rule. I don't give a shit. I'm chastising Dave. I'm taking 4 votes from Dave because he called in more than once.
But I
so that
him.
Means he has negative 1 vote. Thanks to you.
But
he lost it because of you.
I let him.
It doesn't matter. He lost.
Because he was
funny. Of you. Lost because of you. And then the winner from our Twitter game.
You suck.
Is.
Sucky, 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 sucky. Yeah.
What did you just say?
You said it 20 times.
Are you hitting on me?
No.
Okay, here's the winner. The worst thing about being a beer geek is Brewmaster Flash! He says, going to good beer bars and seeing a guy at the bar with his notebook taking tasting notes.
Wow.
That is the worst thing about being a craft beer nerd.
Does that really happen?
Yes, yeah. It happens more often than you think.
They have special books for that, by the way.
Okay, yeah. You see the guy doing it. What do you want to do? You want to say, can I look at your book?
You want to say, drink the beer, dude. It's just beer. Don't
no,
worry about it. It's not a wine. It's not a cigar.
I want to see what he wrote about.
Well, that's true. All right, I guess I'm going to do my announcements, even though I've talked way too much, and I don't really give a shit anymore, but I'm going to do it anyway.
It. Come on.
Show plugs. Here we go. All right, so I'm going to do that, and then we're going to get out of here. What do you guys think? Good show. Was all right?
It was fun. Like yeah, it was good. Yeah. Good job, JP.
Thank you to Ladyface, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Serena and Dave were awesome.
Thank you for sending
yes.
your beers, man.
Yes. Yeah. That was great. That was great. So,
our sponsors, anything in the store?
That's, you know... We just got a bunch of merchandise in.
I see boxes out there.
Yes, yeah, but Jay's boxes. Not here to put them in the store.
Well,
so
there's going to be new stuff soon. Look forward to that.
How about this? Look for it in the next week or two. There's some big boxes out there.
There you
this
go.
There's some cool stuff happening.
Thanks again for everyone for donating and basically hanging in there while we are going through our growth spurts, if you'll forgive the turn of the phrase. It won't happen again for a while because we have a pretty decent plan now. So thank you again very much for making us a success and being able to have some more server room and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Thanks to all our sponsors. You can go to thebrewingnetwork.com and see the list of all those. But you got people like Adam and Eve. You got Williams. You got Northern Brewer. You have More Beer, specifically, who brings you this show each and every Sunday.
Also, just real quick, off week next week. But
that's
we'll be
right.
back in April with Fitker's Brewing and Crooked Stave and Freetail and much more.
All right. Here we go. I'm going to do my... thing if I can make it work. Make it work. There we go. The new season... where the fuck is this volume? Jesus, I'm a mess. New season of Justin's show, Carpool Showdown, is underway. Watch it on Coffee TV 20 if you live in the San Francisco Bay Area, or if you live in hell, otherwise known as anywhere else. Go to online at coffeetv20.com. Follow me, JP, on Twitter at Major Jip with 2 P's if you like Trivial Complaints. And be sure to read my shitty blog at moderndaymerrick.blogspot.com. Moscow has some paintings for sale and is now joined in the 2012s. He is on Twitter at Moscow Paints. Go to Moscow Paints and, you know, check that shit out and stuff. For some good beer and insight and info, follow Nate at Nathan Homebrew and Nicole at beer_muse. And be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook and Twitter. Good night, everybody. Justin's in Moscow and winning the race. JP does great as his charity can.
sitting apart from the laughter and the cheer, while scenes from the past rise before me, just watching the bubbles in my beer. And I'm seeing the road that I've traveled, a road paved with heartaches and tears. And I'm seeing the past that I've wasted while watching the bubbles in my beer. A vision of someone who loved me brings a long silent tear to my eyes as I think of the heart that I've broken and of the golden chances that have passed me by. Oh, I know that my life's been a failure and I've lost everything that made life dear. And the dreams I once dreamed now are empty as the bubbles in my beer. Vision of someone who loved me brings a long silent tear to my eye. And as I think of the heart that I've broken and of the golden chances that have passed me by, oh, I know that my life's been a failure. I've lost everything that made life dear. Dreams I once dreamed now are empty as the bubbles in my beer.